1230 WMFR.
505.
Desert and the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening and or good morning wherever you may be across this great land of ours. From the Rock, Guam in the west, eastward to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north all the way to the pole and worldwide on the old internet. This is Coast to Coast AM and I'm Art Bell. Great to be with you. I have so much to do tonight. I don't know if I can do it all, but first I know I can welcome a new affiliate. How about KFXI-FM, Lawton, Oklahoma. 100,000 watts, 92.1. I imagine from Lawton, Oklahoma, with 100,000 watts high up in the air, you truckers out there probably can keep that thing for hundreds of miles. That's KFXI, Lawton, Oklahoma, 92.1, 100,000 watts. Now, I'm not even sure where to begin. I want to thank all of you for the wonderful comments on my Desert of the Sea photograph. It was what I call a one-in-a-million photograph, and it's still up there on the website. It says Art's Desert of the Sea. Take a look at that photograph if you haven't seen it yet. It was kind of a magical photograph, I think. And so thank you for all the wonderful comments on it. It was really cool. It was really fun to get that shot. It only took about three rolls of film and different shutter speeds and openings and so forth. But we got it. Now, something occurred during the day today which was also very magical. I'm very, 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 very interested in rocketry, amateur rocketry. In fact, I was actually going to buy a rocket. My wife won't let me do this. I was going to buy a rocket, a big one, you know, like about 10 feet tall. I really want one badly. In fact, maybe I'll even get one this weekend. You never know. I wanted a rocket about 10 feet tall, and I was going to put it right in the middle of my front yard. Now, you got to admit, that sends a message. When you've got a rocket, you know, and a gantry in your front yard, people are going to go, hey, guess we better not mess with him, huh? I've always wanted to put a rocket in my front yard. I used to make rockets when I was a kid. Blew things up, mostly. Most of my rockets didn't fly. They blew up. Anyway, there's something really cool going on. And it's an amateur rocket, I don't know, festival, I guess. And they're setting off gazillions of rockets. And it's not far from me. It's El Dorado Dry Lake Bed near Boulder City, Nevada. So not all that far from me. And it's going on, it went on a little bit today, sort of a pre-show. And then Saturday and Sunday, it's going to be going on all day. And Paul Bowman of AirInternet.com, who's a friend of mine, as you know, he's Maggie's dad, actually went out there and hooked up a microwave link from the dry lake bed to a point where they could reach the internet. And we've got the doggonest thing going on. We've got streaming video from the dry lake bed near Boulder City so that Saturday and Sunday, all of you out there can go to my website. You'll see the link. It'll say something like webcast under what's new. It'll say webcast amateur rocket launches. And it's going to be going on all weekend long, a streaming video, and there's a place in there where you can chat, and you can watch these rockets being launched. It is absolutely awesome. So, during the daylight hours, not now, because obviously, you know, they're taking video, and they're not going to be able to do it at night. So, daylight hours, both Saturday and Sunday, you can go to my website, go to What's New, click on Amateur Rocket Launches, and you'll be taken over, and you'll have live video on your screen of these rocket launches, the whole affair going on out there. In fact, I'm going out myself late Saturday, and you can watch these rockets go up. It is just too cool. So if you're into rockets, too, I know not everybody is, boy, it is really fun to watch. Absolutely a blast to watch. Again, it's the El Dorado Dry Lake Bed near Boulder City, and I'll be going out there personally to observe the goings-on, not till late Saturday, unfortunately, because I have another obligation that precedes that. So, there is that. Now, number two. Also, under What's New on my website tonight, my website, by the way, is www.artbell.com, is Radio and Records seminar photos. And we just got these up before airtime, as usual. Poor Keith, he's sitting there going nuts trying to get everything up. And there's a story with what you're about to hear. You'll see a whole lot of photographs of me up on stage. You'll see photographs with myself and Matt Drudge. You'll see photographs. Here it is. The first photograph that I've got to stop and tell you about. You may recall it was, year and a half ago that I went to WABC in New York. Do you all remember that, when I went back to WABC in New York? Well, met a whole bunch of people there. In fact, met Curtis there. And, of course, Phil Boyce, the program director of WABC. And WABC is a very special thing to me because it's... Yeah, I grew up with WABC. Anyway, in the WABC studios, Rush Limbaugh has a personal office. Personal studio, you know, where he does his broadcast when he's in New York. And when I walked into Rush's studio, I went, oh my God, that's an alien. And here was this great big wooden carved alien. A gray alien. And I said, I've never seen this. What's this doing in Rush's studio? Why would Rush have a big alien, a gray at that, in his studio? And we never could figure it out. And everybody was laughing. I was laughing and laughing and laughing. I said, no, it can't be, not Rush. But it's true. This alien sat by Rush as he did every broadcast from New York. Anyway, the alien had its, I don't know if you could say hand, it's not human, right? But it's extremity out into the air. And so my wife and I left, I think, a $5 bill and a cigarette in its little claw. We left. Well, at the Radio and Records seminar, Randy Michaels, who is the CEO of Clear Channel Radio, surprised me. You know, he got up, and I'll be damned if Rush has not sent me as a present for coming back on the air this incredible alien. This from his office. Rush sent this to me, and Randy Michaels delivered it to me, and they gave it to me up on stage, and I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. Here was Rush's alien, which had been sent along with his best wishes, you know, for coming back on the air and everything. Thank you very much, Rush. And it just totally blew me away. And so you'll see me up there on stage commenting on the first series of pictures. And then I was, you know, these things just happened spontaneously. And I don't know why I did it, but I ran over and I hugged the alien. We've got that photo. So we've got a combination of pictures that were taken by my company photographer, and also some other photographers. It's kind of a mix. In fact, my wife was photographer. I've got a shot up there of Phil Henry and myself. There's a shot of Phil Boyce, of the program director of WABC, and myself. So all of those photos are up on the website tonight. I didn't want to do it until I had them all. They're not all properly labeled. We'll probably get to that eventually, but they just went up before airtime. So that's up on the website. Now let me give you another reason to go to the website. The second item is spectacular, Boy, it's getting slow already. Spectacular aircraft photographs. Oh, my God, you have never seen anything like what has been sent to us. You've never seen anything like that. They're high-resolution photos. One is of a crash of two MiG aircraft that's just absolutely unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now, another is the Apache helicopter, and you have never seen an Apache do what this Apache is doing. It's right down on the water, and it's an awesome picture. You've just never seen anything like it. The first photograph appears to be, I'm not sure about this one, I think it's the B-1 bomber, and it's going across the water, I don't know, it's hard to judge, maybe 25, 30, 50 feet above the water, it's hard to judge, and it's blowing up a cyclone behind it. You've never seen anything like that. That's on the website tonight. Now, let me promo what I'm going to be doing at the bottom of the hour. As you know, we're going to, after 11 o'clock or in the second hour, I really shouldn't say 11 o'clock because I'm talking to so many time zones. We're going to do what's called the Alien and the Burrito story, Dr. Jonathan Reed. Now, there are a couple of different kind of UFO stories. The first UFO story that people get and photo that people get are the fuzzy ones. And people don't believe those. You know, if there's any blurriness to a UFO photo, they say, ah, what a fake. Right? Of course. And the second type is... So the first type is not good enough. Second type is too good. It's when you have a story and photographs that are so good, so clear, so detailed... people don't believe them. So it doesn't matter which kind of photograph you've got. And in this case, we've got a Type 2 photograph. That's like a Type 2 civilization, huh? Our Type 2 photographs with Dr. Reed are of the alien dead, he thought. And they're close-ups of the alien and the obelisk and all the stuff we're going to be talking about tonight. And those photographs, of course, are back up tonight also under tonight's guest. And we're going to be telling the whole story, and we've got new witnesses and new information for you tonight on the alien in the burrito story, or the alien in the freezer story, depending on how you want to look at it. But in this case, the evidence is too good. The pictorial evidence is too good, and so people don't believe it. But that's okay. If you've not heard this story, it's the damnedest thing you've ever heard. If you have heard it before, then you might listen very carefully and see if you detect that Dr. Reed's story, is consistent with the last time he told it. Does that make sense? Then there's one more little thing. After the bottom of the hour here, we're going to break the ginger story. We're going to break the it story. Most of you think out there that ginger or it is a little scooter, right? And most of you have seen the photographs of the little scooter, right? Wrong. That's not it. But we have definitive proof, I believe, of what it is. Robert Stenson, that would be Robert Steensen, has called me earlier in the day and said, Art, I'm an investigative reporter. I worked for Hard Copy. They're not on the air anymore, he said. But I'd like to break a story on your program. I've got it. And I said to him, well, look, everybody's got it. I mean, this has been all over the net. Everybody knows what it is. It's a little scooter, right? No, he said, wrong. So we have a picture of it. And I won't go any further than that right now because I don't want some of the evidence yanked before I can get you to see the evidence. I will bring Robert on at the bottom of the hour here, and we'll break the story. We're going to tell you what it is. And you judge for yourself whether you think we've got it. We think we've got it dead on. We've got photographic proof. We've got audio proof that you'll hear. And so I've got a lot on my hands tonight. All of this just coming up, of course, naturally, as usual, just before airtime. So, new stuff, the amateur rocket launches webcast all weekend long. There's a lot of people to thank for that. You're exclusively getting it here with a link here on the website. We've got these incredible, incredible aircraft photos, ones that I would wager you've never seen before, because I watched the net closely and I've never seen these grace any point on the net until now. Of course, they'll be everywhere now. We've got the radio and record seminar photos, and in some cases you're going to have to be good and pick out the luminaries yourself, because we didn't get them with enough time to label everything. But that's up there. So all of that is hanging to be done. It should be quite a night tonight. It'll be interesting to see if I have enough fingers and hands to really do it all.
From FX, the tragedy.
We've got 47 men dead.
The cover-up.
You're compromising an investigation.
The truth.
What happened in that gun turret?
Sunday night, one of the biggest cover-ups in naval history.
I believe the Navy is scapegoating a dead man to protect itself.
Becomes the most controversial television movie event of the year. James Caan.
This goes way beyond his loyalty.
What you say will carry more weight than anything.
A Glimpse of Hell, based on a true story. World premiere this Sunday night at 8 Eastern Pacific, only on FX.
Mike, can I ask, do you get an EITC?
What's an EITC?
Earned Income Tax Credit. It's for people who work hard but don't earn much.
Huh, that's me.
If your income last year ranged from a small amount up to a little over $31,000, and if you qualify for this credit, it can save you hundreds of dollars, even thousands.
Wow. How do I get the EITC?
Get the facts by calling 1-800-TAX-FORM, that's T-A-X-F-O-R-M, and ask for free publication 596.
A public service message from the IRS.
Younger and younger. How would you like to feel younger and younger? Well, sure you would. We all would. Because with youth, you get all kinds of things. Great-looking skin. You're a sexual monster, right? You get you have less wrinkling of the skin. Your immune function is much better when you're younger. You can exercise. The performance of your exercise is better when you're younger. You have better vision. God knows, better vision. Improved memory. Right. Improved cholesterol profile. And on and on and on. Well, HGH, human growth hormone, effectively does that. Gets you younger and younger. There are two types, injectable and ultimate HGH. Ultimate HGH increases your own human growth hormone level in your own body. So it's all your own. That's the way to go, as far as I'm concerned. Want to try it? It's about $33 a month. That compares to about $100 a month for a typical similar products. We'll throw in a $20 value book that gives you the science of HGH. That ought to sell you. Ought to be enough. Give it a try. 1-800-557-4627 is the number for Great American Products and HGH. That's 1-800-557-4627. All right, you're probably sitting there saying, what did he say? Did he say he's going to break the story of It and Ginger? Yeah, I did. Now, whether we have the story or not, I don't know. I'll let you be the judge. It is my opinion we definitely do. And I guess I would have to say some of it has been hidden in plain sight. Sometimes the best place to hide something. Maybe not that plain. Anyway, let's look at the world a little bit. Bangladesh, gunmen free hostages in Bangladesh. Tribal gunmen on Saturday freed three European hostages after a month of captivity in a forest in southeastern Bangladesh. That's good. As you know, rapper Sean Puffy Combs acquitted on all Friday. Free man. Wall Street, oh, bad news again on Wall Street. Bad news again. This was like a week that we lost about 817 points or something on the Dow. Unbelievable. And now, of course, everybody is wondering two things. One, where it's headed at the first of next week and what the Fed is going to do. Will it be 50 or 75 basis points? I don't know. I'm not so sure it's going to matter. I hope it matters. I hope that the Fed can pull this out, maybe with 0.75 point or something. We'll see. We'll see. But I kind of have my doubts. Everybody's looking for where the bottom is in the market because, of course, the bottom would be a great place to buy. But as my stockbroker says, nobody rings the bell at the bottom. So you just don't know. Watching closely what's going on at a Ford engine casting plant in Brook Park. Legionnaire's disease, folks. Cleveland. My affiliate covering it there, of course. WTAM. But it looks like they've got Legionnaire's disease, one death. All production workers are being told to stay home. Only salaried employees to report at last I had word. So there is indeed Legionnaire's disease, apparently pretty serious. And then just one little final item. Dime-sized dollops of dung rained from the sky over Sevier, Sevier County, Utah this week. Dung from the sky, folks, splattering a home, leaving health officials knee-deep in befuddlement over its origin. The mess dropped Monday over a home on the outskirts of Richfield, covering two sides of the house and showering over the backyard and a hot tub, which was covered at the time, thank God. Homeowners were gone at the time, discovered the whole thing just before about 6 o'clock. By then, the spots appeared to be at least 3 hours old. The smears, I suppose. Health officials tested the splotches, and look what they found. Let's see. Coliform bacteria, including E. coli. Verifying the mess was fecal matter from an unknown source. The homeowner was advised to wash the mess away with disinfectant. similar gooey globs have hit homes in Salt Lake County in the spring of 1999. So now we have poop falling from the sky. You know, it's such a good thing that these poor people were not home. Can you imagine being in your backyard, maybe relaxing on a lawn chair with a cool one, and you look up? And here's this dime-sized thing or group of things that appear to be falling your way. Now, wait a minute. They're fist-sized now. Oh, my God. They've hit. They're brown. They're gooey. Could it be? Yes, it is. Where would that come from? They say not aircraft, so how would this stuff fall from the sky?
In today's economy, you need the latest business news, and you need it now. How is the NASDAQ performing? The New York Stock Exchange? With your future retirement depending on how your investments are doing, you need the latest information to make the right decisions. On News Talk 1230 WMFR, you'll get more business news than any other radio station. Each morning between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m., each day during the noon hour, and each afternoon from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., you'll hear two business reports each hour at 24 past the hour. Find out the latest information from ABC's Business Week report. And then at 10 minutes before each hour, you get another update from the CBS MarketWatch.com report. In addition, you can find out the latest business news and track your stocks on our website at WMFR.com. If you need business news, then you'll find it right here on News Talk 1230 WMFR and on WMFR.com. For the most reliable traffic reports on the radio, keep it right here on News Talk 1230 WMFR.
I'm traffic reporter J.R. Snyder from News Talk 1230 WMFR. Each morning during the Max Meek Show, I provide you with the info you need to avoid the traffic jams and accidents as you travel around the Triad on your way to work and school each day.
I'm Chuck Ross, and I'm here each afternoon during the Dennis Elliott Show to help you make it home on time and in one piece. For the most complete and accurate traffic reports on the radio, keep it right here on News Talk 1230 WMFR.
When you were a child, did you think there were little people in the radio doing all that talking? You were right. There are little people in the radio. In fact, I'm in your radio right now, but I'm not quite as small as you think. But that's another story. What I want you to know is that now you can not only hear us, you can see us. That's right. Go to WMFR.com and click on the live studio webcam. Then you can actually see all of us little people in your radio. WMFR.com, and then click on the webcam. If you wave to us, we might wave back. See the little people on News Talk 1230 WMFR and WMFR.com. Got something around the house you want to get rid of? Think you're just cluttered with junk? You might find out that your junk is someone else's treasure. You can buy, sell, or trade on the WMFR flea market each Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. Just call us each Saturday morning from 7 to 8 and tell Bill Canada what you want to get rid of or what you want to find. You can also fax us at 885-FAX, 885-FAXX. Clean out that garage and make some money. The flea market Saturday morning from 7 to 8 on News Talk 1230 WMFR.
People don't get it. They don't understand that when they worry, it doesn't stop there. It's only the beginning. When you worry, it turns into tension, and that leads to feelings of irritability, and then anger. And that leads to lots of hurt feelings, and guilt, and overwhelm, and out-of-control emotion. Anxiety and the worry that it creates ruins careers, vacations. It destroys families, and even lives. Worry takes your peace away, and robs you of living in the precious present moment. It's no way to live. Certainly no way to raise children, and no way to have healthy relationships. You don't have to live with worry and anxiety. Let me help you help yourself. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. Please call 1-800-ANXIETY for a free tape that will tell you about a program that could help you get rid of anxiety and worry and get your life back. Stop worrying and start living again. Call 1-800-ANXIETY. That's 1-800-ANXIETY.
Welcome to the age of information, an era of unlimited resources, but none so vital as the Wall Street Journal. Successful people everywhere make it the most important part of their business day. And now, for a limited time, you can make the Wall Street Journal a part of yours for 50% off the regular subscription rate. 50% off. The Wall Street Journal delivers what you need most today. Everything from top news to investing and online trading, career matters and tips on balancing your work and family life. And on Friday, the Journal includes an engaging entertainment and lifestyle section called We
Are the Ones That Keep It Down and Read the Name of His Latest Friend. He talked and talked, and I heard him say that she had the longest, quietest hair, the prettiest green eyes anywhere, and read the name of His Latest Friend. Though I smiled, the tears inside were burning. I wished him luck, and then he said goodbye. He was gone, but still his words kept returning.
All right, everybody, we're about to break the ginger story.
Want to take a ride? Call Art Bell from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. The wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. And to call Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-9393. 800-283-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
It's going to be a busy night. We're going to begin by breaking the ginger story coming up in just a moment. Can't believe we're doing that here, but we are. So if you're ready, we're almost ready. There is little doubt the weather continues to get worse. The severity and frequency of these superstorms has been a topic on the show many times. Some of the most frightening predictions have been about the impact of global storms changing the surface of the earth and directly affecting you. KEBCO has assembled the finest survival kit to ensure the safety and security of you and your family. Everything you'd need in an emergency, over 100 delicious meals, a complete first aid kit, Sunstar's hand crank solar radio, water purification system, emergency blankets, cook and heat stove, and much, much more. In fact, over 30 pounds of supplies, tightly sealed in a heavy canvas bag. The price? A great bargain at $269 plus shipping and handling. That's a third of what you'd pay if bought separately. Call 1-800-365-8301. That's 1-800-365-8301. Act now, and KEBCO gives you an additional Sunstar Solar Crank AM/FM radio for free. So, protect you and your loved ones. Call 1-800-365-8301. The website is mysafetykit.com. By the way, that really is a good kit. I've got one. I can tell you it's a good, good deal. With the continued volatility in the stock market, they call this volatility, the stock market, the Dow lost 817 points for the week. Good Lord. A lot of people are losing a lot of money. A lot of money. When you consider each point is about $400 million on the Dow, 817 points, do the math. All of that said, the people at Lear Financial have just assembled their new gold diversification guide, which outlines why America's top brokerage houses themselves are buying gold now, what the short-term profit potential might be, what coins could double in value in the next 24 months. It really lays it all out for you. And it's not just that. It's also a new audio seminar that describes how to safely double your savings and retirement accounts with gold. And normally for all this, Lear would charge $19. But if you order it as a result of this ad, it's all free. F-R-E-E, free. No strings. What a deal. The seminar, the Gold Diversification Guide, call 1-800-474-4259. Tell them I said, no cost, no obligation, 1-800-474-4259. These are wild financial times. There's no question about that. All right, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to Robert Stenson. Robert, welcome to the program.
Hi, Art. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Well, this should really be something. Everybody has been going gaga for some time now over Dean Kamen's invention, a great, tightly held secret. It seems almost as big a secret as the Manhattan Project was. I mean, this thing is incredible, and yet they had seemingly a campaign going. Maybe Dean Kamen didn't. Someone did, putting it or ginger out there, just driving people insane and not telling them what it is, this invention that'll change the world somehow, or they'll build communities around it, or, you know, they've said all kinds of things about this invention, but they haven't said what the invention is. The popular notion on the internet is that this invention is a little scooter, and they've got pictures up all over, but that's not it, is it?
No. So, people, I'm Robert Stenson. I'm a private investigator and investigative reporter for television. I've been known for...
Slow down. This is too fast. You're an investigative reporter. Your name is Robert Stenson.
Robert Stenson.
How to say it again?
S-T-E-E-N-S-E-N.
You know, pronounce it for me.
Stenson. Danish.
Stenson. Right. I might be able to do that. Stenson.
Yeah, it's kind of seem misarranged if you look at it hard.
All right. I'll work. Now, you've worked for Hard Copy?
Worked for Hard Copy, investigative reporter for the news media, and investigative reporting. I've worked on O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson civil trial.
Who did you do that for?
I did that for hard copy as
hard
well.
Hard copy, all right. So you've got a big background in breaking these kinds of stories or working on very high-profile stories. How did you get on to the IT story?
Well, basically, I found out that there was going to be a secret convention of engineers. And well, I'm into technology myself. And I found out there was a rumor that some guy was going to release some interesting technological device. And I found out, I reviewed a video, actually, of the convention. I looked, and here he comes out on this device. You want me to describe what
it is? Not quite yet, because I'm going to have Keith pull the trigger on this on the website. It's not on the website until I say on the air, Keith, pull the trigger. Don't pull the trigger yet, Keith.
Okay.
So
without getting into too much detail, basically, it shows him with the vehicle, and everybody's all gawking at this, and he describes it in detail, which I have a soundbite for you a little bit later.
You mean of Dean Kamen himself?
Dean Kamen himself actually explaining what it is and what he's doing on it.
You're kidding.
No.
And this was obtained at a convention?
This was obtained at a convention not too long ago.
Then we have a photograph, you believe, of it as well, right?
Absolutely. The videotape that I have and a website that we're going to put on a little later in the show shows the device that I have on the video with the President of the United States, and underneath the caption, he won the 2000 award for a technology, National Medal of Technology.
So in other words, it's Dean Kamen sitting on the device.
Sitting on Ginger.
Sitting on Ginger next to President Clinton, right?
President Clinton, yes.
And now, this is a website. It's on the web. I mean, there it is, hiding in plain sight. Now, why hasn't everybody somehow found this website, obscure as it may be, and discovered Ginger? How come we're just hearing about it now?
Well, frankly, quite frankly, that nobody knows what it looks like. There's only been teasers out there about something that defies gravity, in which it does defy gravity in an interesting way.
All right, so then you cobbled it all together. In other words, you got the audio and the video from the seminar, a little of the audio, we're going to hear that shortly, Dean Kamen's own voice, and then you put that together with the picture and compared it to the video and said, voila.
Yep.
So that's how it all happened, right?
Yep, and actually you heard him say, Ginger, this is Ginger, like that, and he mumbled that. That part I didn't get, but his actually release name is different than Ginger. That was just a teaser name.
All right, Keith, pull the trigger. What that just did is, within a minute or two, the photograph, or the link to the photograph of Ginger with the President of the United States and Dean Kamen sitting on Ginger is going to be on my website. So, I think it might be an appropriate time, Robert, to play the audio and tell us exactly what we're going to be hearing.
Okay, right now, since you can't see what I'm looking at right now, he's coming in through the doors through the convention.
You're looking at the videotape.
Yeah, I'm going to be looking at the videotape, and he drives up on this device, and he goes up to the podium, and then he's at the microphone, and then from there you'll hear what he's saying.
All right.
Okay, I'll cue it up. Right.
Here we go. This will be Dean Kamen.
And the user interface was made to be as close to human as possible, which is, you know, walking is a controlled fall. That's what makes humans so unique. We use the dynamic instability to our advantage, so that if I were to fall forward, I could say hello, and if I lean back, I'll back up. But this machine is very anthropomorphic in lots of ways, and it gives people the capacity to do things that you take very much for granted.
There you go.
All right. That was Dean Kamen's voice describing the device itself.
That's correct.
And what did he mean? Now, let's tell everybody right now what the device is. Ladies and gentlemen, it appears to be a new wheelchair. But unlike any wheelchair you've ever seen, how do you translate the words he just said to the radio audience? In other words, describe, if you would, Robert, what you see when you look at this photo.
Well, Art, visually what it is a wheelchair with two axles. There isn't any front wheels. Your common wheelchair has a large wheel in the back and two in the front.
Right.
This only has two 9-inch tall wheels. That's it. That's it. It's balancing on two wheels. It's a balancing act. And It has, I think, multiple servos and gyros inside of it, which keeps it balanced. And he's basically floating. He's balancing on two wheels that are parallel, and there's two axles on top of each other. It's very... No one's ever seen anything like this before, so when your listeners look on the website, they're going to see this, and go, my God, he's actually balancing on this thing, and it's done by servos. So on my video here that I was looking at, he was rolling up on these two wheels perfectly balanced, and he reached out to shake someone's hand, and it rolled forward to counterbalance himself.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
Apparently, it will also go up steps.
I believe it could probably do this, yes.
It looks like the way it's arranged, the way Dean Kamen was speaking about how just walking is a controlled fall, and if you look at the design of the chair, it almost looks like it would go up steps.
That is true. The pro platform, from the picture on the website, you notice that his feet are elevated about almost 2 feet off the ground.
Right.
And he's a total height of maybe about 3 feet off the ground next to President Clinton. And is perfectly balanced. And as long as those servos are turning, he's going to stay balanced. I was sort of wondering what would happen if the batteries died, but it's pretty... I'd like to see that. But anyway, this is a medical device. And he's known, Mr. Dean Kamen is known, and he did receive a 2000 National Medal of Technology Award for inventions for medical technologies for worldwide. And that's what the President Clinton, and that caption there, underneath,
yes.
President Clinton, it actually says that he received that National Medal of Technology.
All right, I'm unable to get in my own website right now for some reason. It's probably getting slam dunked, and we've got about more bandwidth than anybody should ever have, and it's still getting slam dunked right now. So, Robert, do you think that when you roll over the statements that have been made by some CEOs, very important people who have seen it, which is what I presume that we're looking at in this photo, that those statements hold up, that communities, I think it was said, would be built around it. Others have said it'll revolutionize society. Certainly for the handicapped, I guess this would be a complete revolution, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. There's many principles, applications that you could use this for. The military could use it, and you know about remote vehicles on Mars. This would be pretty good for that as well.
Oh, it sure would. Let's see, what else? I would think that, you're right, it would have application in the space program if it's not already been used, but you would think, yes, for a rover or something like that on Mars, it would be ideal. Do you know anything else about its capabilities? For example, what powers it? It's been said that it is not exactly the big story, that what powers it is the big story. That's been said all over the net, and people think it's, well, what do you think powers it?
Well, what they're talking about is a power system. It's very large. It's behind him in the seat. You can't really see it in a picture. But what is inside of the power system is actually the servos they're talking about. And the way these servos are arranged are unique, and there's many patents on it.
Yes, but I mean the power. In other words, some have said they think it's a hydrogen fuel cell.
Right.
Is that what you got?
It's possible. That's still actually classified under what he didn't want to get into any of that detail at the convention.
Uh-huh.
About the power source. But it's right now, it's being tested by the FDA right now, and it will soon be released. It's under testing under the FDA. So we'll be seeing this everywhere within a few months on the television. And there'll be more information later.
Now, you're an investigative journalist. How high a percentage of reliability do you personally assign to the fact that we've got it?
I'd say, considering he said that this was ginger, I'd say about 99%.
99%, huh?
Yeah.
You don't have the power. You said it was kind of mumbled where he said it's ginger?
That's right, yeah. He said this is ginger, and then he called it... Do you want to know the real name?
Sure.
Okay, it's called the iBot Transporter.
The iBot Transporter.
Mm-hmm.
The iBot Transporter. Why did you choose, Robert, I'm curious, why you chose my program to break this to the nation?
Well, it was funny. I tuned in when Richard Hoagland, you know Richard, and he said, well, I found an interesting patent, and it looks like there's somebody who has a patent on something that defies gravity. That got my curiosity. So I looked into this and used some of my, well, voodoo, but I do look up things, and I tracked this down, and then we both ran into each other, basically, and, you know, he wasn't too far off. It is somewhat defying gravity by a balancing act.
Well, technically, I suppose, it's not really... it's sort of defying gravity. It's not really technically defying gravity.
Yeah, well, if you were to set this up and disconnect the batteries from it, it would fall over. It would tip over.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point.
Yeah,
so those servos have to run for it to do its balancing act.
That's correct. It would be an excellent platform for a robotic, like a humanoid robotic device.
Do we know any details about speed, forward, reverse, how it turns?
Absolutely, yes.
What do we know?
The speed, it is very fast. This thing, at running pace,
yes,
it could run it could move very fast. It could go up a platform, a steep slope platform, and it could stop instantly, and he shifts a little forward and wings back and forth while it's balancing, and it spins around on a dime. It's perfect.
So in other words, it will give somebody who's usually in a wheelchair as much mobility and maybe even more than somebody on their feet?
Absolutely. This is what's so good about it is you have two axles stacked on top of each other. That gives him the area to get into small areas for clearances. He could lift his legs up in a front platform that his feet on could actually fold up. Let's say if somebody didn't have any legs and they're in a wheelchair,
right,
they could squeeze into a very narrow area because you're only working with a tire that's 9 inches wide. You're not dealing with a large wheelchair with a large, 18, 20, inch wheelbase.
My God.
So imagine getting on a bus with this thing.
My God. It will indeed, for the handicapped, it will change the world. It will absolutely revolutionize the world, then. It's that big.
That's absolutely correct. This is something that will be, until the day we die, it will actually be used.
Still, I'm curious, Robert, and others would ask this same question, so I'll ask. Mm-hmm. You worked in the world of hard copy.
That's correct.
So you know as well as I do that a story like the one we're breaking right now is worth money.
It's worth a lot of money.
Yeah, you could probably walk into one of Hard Copy's clones, and there's enough of them still on the air, and sell this story. How come you broke it on this program instead of going and getting the monies?
To tell you the truth, I really dig your show, Art. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's a fun show. A lot of people like listening to it, and it's just great. And there's so many things that break on your show. I figured it just went together, and especially with Hoagland. He was just diehard. He just wanted to know what this was, so I did it for you and Hoagland, basically.
Well, I really appreciate it. You know, even Ed Dames, if you listen to the program, Ed came up with a remote view description that isn't that far off in its own way either. He said it moved forward kind of like a slinky, was the analogy he used. Might not be exactly that, but that's kind of the flow-forward idea still.
Yeah, it sort of reminds me of those little blow-up clowns that you punch and you rock back and forth.
And Richard, of course, also was very close. But everybody on the net, if you're correct, and from what I can see, I think you are correct, I think you nailed it, everybody on the net has been way wrong, all wrong. Now, do you think that little photograph of the... of the scooter was just put out there as sort of disinformation, to lead people off the right track, or what?
Yeah, there was a lot of disinformation around the teasing of this product. I've searched many websites and looked, and there actually was a drawing of this pretty close. It showed it with three wheels. That was as close as anyone ever got to it. And but like I said, there's other applications with this, but the main one is the wheelchair.
Well, again, I appreciate the fact that you love my program and that you like me, and that's all really cool, but I still don't get why you wouldn't go for the money.
Well, to tell you the truth, I have a tape sitting here right now.
Yes?
I want you to hear it. I've got it that's worth many thousands of dollars of Jay Leno on a jet-powered motorcycle getting cut off by the President of the United States.
What now?
I have a tape, Jay Leno on a jet-powered motorcycle going down the street. I'm behind him, and the President's motorcade pulls out, and he gets cut off. That's Globe front page right there.
That's Globe front page?
That's Globe front page, and that's the price of a house, probably. Well, you want to actually hear it? I could actually cue it up, and I'll rewind it in the meantime.
What?
You can hear a jet powered motorcycle. It's amazing.
Yeah, I tell you, actually, what you ought to do is rewind during the break to the Dean Kamen thing, because that's what I'm going to want to play again.
Okay, we'll do
but
that.
But still, you're saying that's your money story, or that's
yeah. Well, I'm not that greedy of a person. I have other things that I do. I've had, actually, those last year I've had was very slow. That's why I'd love to plug my internet. I mean, one of my emails, at least, so I get some more. Because basically, I earn my money off private investigative work, basically.
So you're a private investigator, a journalist, hard copy or whatever, when you can do it.
Yeah. You want to hear something even weirder?
What?
This is really strange. I worked in defense, worked in a project. I built the radar defense system for the stealth fighter.
You built the radar defense system for the stealth fighter?
Yeah, myself and some other people. I could talk about it. It's been almost 18 years now, and I could actually bring that up.
I'm sure it would be
if that isn't weird enough, my life isn't strange enough, did that. And that is actually the outside part of the stealth that absorbs radar, is what I used to do.
How do you make a transition from that kind of thing, that kind of team effort, in defense and science, to what you're doing now?
Well, investigations, if you work anywhere in the military, you hear weird things, as you know. And that piques your curiosity, and that's why I went into investigative research, so I could find out things.
If you live where I live out here, you hear weird things and you see weird things.
That's correct.
You know where I am.
Exactly, I know exactly where you're at.
All right. Hold on during the news here.
Okay.
We'll break and come back and sort of recap for those stations that join at 11 and then proceed, all right?
Okay, sounds
good. Stay right where you are. Robert Stenson. I can't. I'll never say it the right way. It's Steen, and we will get his email address up for you after the top of the hour. So we're in the middle of breaking the Ginger story. It's on my website. The link's on my website. We'll have the audio one more time if you want to get your recorders ready. This is Coast to Coast AM.
News and information. There's only one station in the High Point area that actually specializes in providing news and information. News Conditioning of High Point and News Talk 1230 WMFR.
Take a ride? Call Art Bell from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 775-727-1222 or call the wild card line at 775-727-1295. To talk with Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Good morning, everybody. For those stations just joining us, I'm going to take a moment out. We do have, as you know, a big show with Dr. Jonathan Reed, Robert Rafe, and others, as yet unnamed, coming up. But before we do that, we're going to break the story of It. We are breaking the story of It, but I wanted those stations joining us this hour to be able to get It as well. Yeah, Ginger, we've got it, folks. And we'll tell you all about it in a moment. On my website tonight, along with a million other things, finally, the radio and records seminar photos are there. And I'm not going to go into the long chat about it. You can go up and look at them. The one big story there is, when I was up on stage, unbelievably, I was presented by Randy Michaels, CEO of Clear Channel Radio, with a gift from Rush Limbaugh. Rush has given me this gigantic alien. It's being shipped to me by freight now because it's too heavy to go any other way. And they gave it to me up on stage, and so the photographs of all that are there. It was really touching, and I'm looking forward to getting the big alien delivered by a freight truck next week sometime. We have a new set of spectacular, I think, not seen before aircraft photos that'll blow your mind up there tonight. In addition, there's a webcast going on, not right now, but during the daylight hours, both Saturday and Sunday. I'm going out there myself to the El Dorado dry lake bed near Boulder City, where they're launching rockets all weekend long, amateur rocket launches all week long, including a level 3 that should go up way up there. And I saw a whole bunch of rockets today. We've got a link, an actual live video link going on during the day, both Saturday and Sunday. So you'll see that up there under What's New Webcast, Amateur Rocket Launches. I'm going to be up there myself on Saturday at the dry lake bed watching all of this, but you can watch it on the web. So there's a moving video and audio. That'll be during daylight hours only. Don't click on that now. You'll not go anywhere. Daylight hours. Now, number two, and this is a biggie, we have a man here tonight named Robert Stenson. I'm just going to say Stenson. That's the only way I can pronounce it, S-T-E-E-N-S-E-N. He's worked for Hard Copy, and he's a private investigator, and he has it, Ginger. And so I want to briefly recap, if we can, Robert, what it or Ginger is. We've got your name up on the website. And we've got the link to the website with a picture of Ginger or it, and there's also a Wired magazine story up there. It's pretty close. We've got all of that under your name. So if you go to program and tonight's guest, you'll see Robert Stenson's. Pronounce your own name, Robert.
It's Steenson.
Right.
Trust me, I had a heart problem when I was a kid. Don't worry. At the hardest time. I used to call myself Dean when I was a little kid.
Dean. Listen, yeah. Before we describe this again, your email address. A lot of people are going to want to talk to you, Robert. Believe me, a lot of people are going to want to talk to you. So what is your email address? How would people in the media get hold of you since you're the guy who broke this?
Well, usually just a simple email is good enough. Just a basic email. I have, I could give...
Give your email address is what
Yeah, email mean. Address would be ProjectRainbow2000. That's ProjectRainbow2000, ProjectRainbow2000 at yahoo.com.
Rainbow.
Yeah, I don't know how much.
2000 at yahoo.
.com, yeah. ProjectRainbow2000.
Okay, ProjectRainbow2000 at yahoo.com.
Yep.
That's your email address. That's
yes.
Good. All right, we'll get that up on the website as well so people can email you. You're going to want to check frequently because it's going to fill up fast.
Yes. And it's sort of bizarre. A lot of things you talk about absolutely seen and the stuff, Richard Hoagland and those photos of Mars, I've seen those too.
All right, let's recap then. If the audience were just joining, the question is, you know what it or Ginger is?
That's correct.
How do you know what it or Ginger is? How did you put this story together, please?
Well, basically, there's a secret convention going on for engineers, for technology, and he surprisingly came in.
It was where was the secret convention?
Well, I'm not really allowed to give out that part.
Ah.
Because he may do it again, and...
I see. All right, so anyway, you...
I videotaped the convention.
How did you get in? You probably can't tell me that either, huh?
No.
You...
people wonder how I get into place.
A secret convention, secret place... You're in there with a camera, which probably you weren't supposed to be.
No one will see the camera on me. I could stand in front of someone holding a camera, they'll never see me.
So you have this videotape, and up on stage comes Dean Kamen, right?
That's correct. He comes in through the doors, basically, on this this vehicle, on two wheels, basically, opposed. And he goes up on stage, and he starts describing what it is that people are looking at in his invention, and I'll... cue up the audio there for my video and let you listen.
Okay, what you're going
to
hear is the audio of Dean Kamen's voice. This is from the video that that Robert's talking about. Go ahead. This will be Dean Kamen, folks, describing it.
Okay, here we go.
Interface was made to be as close to human as possible, which is, you know, walking is a controlled fall. That's what makes humans so unique. We use the dynamic instability to our advantage, so that if I were to fall forward, I could say hello, and if I lean back up. But this machine is very anthropomorphic in lots of ways, and it gives people the capacity to do things that you take very much for granted.
There you go.
All right. Now, we also have a photograph of it or Ginger, and the photograph was located on a web page hiding in plain sight. It actually was on the web, folks. The photograph shows Dean Kamen sitting on this device, which is, you tell us, Robert, the same device as...
It was what he called Ginger in his own words. He said, this is Ginger, and its official name, that was actually the name just to tease people, Ginger, but its real name is called the iBot Transporter.
The iBot Transporter. Everybody thought it was a silly little scooter that they had a picture of with a girl riding the scooter. Well, it's not a scooter, folks. It's a wheelchair. But it's not a wheelchair, really. Describe this wheelchair. We'll call it that for lack of a better name right now.
Well, this wheelchair is like none other. A typical wheelchair has a very large wheel in the back and two small wheels in the front.
Right.
This here is missing two wheels in the front and missing the two wheels in the back. Besides, the two wheels in the rear are about 9.5, 10 inches in height. And you look at it and you wonder, how the heck is this thing balancing? It's actually balancing on two wheels.
On two wheels.
Exactly. And that is done in the back by a whole bunch of servos and gyroscopes spinning around at high speed.
So somehow they keep this machine vertical at all times. And you said on the video, he leans forward, Dean leans forward to shake hands with somebody.
And that's correct.
The machine does what as he leans forward?
Okay, this video may be aired later on Television 2 and everyone will be able to see this. When he's on stage, there's another gentleman next to him, and what he does, he moves the chair forward, he reaches out, and typically you'd fall over. The chair actually compensates and moves forward and balances itself to keep from falling over when he reaches out to shake the guy. And then he leans back almost in a reclining mode,
leans back,
and the thing won't even fall over. He's trying to tip it over, but it won't fall over.
It won't fall over.
No.
It may or may not be hydrogen-powered. You're not sure about that?
The power is... I wouldn't say it's hydrogen because that would be extremely dangerous. It may be a lithium-ion base or a nickel-metal hydride system. I don't think it's really that exotic because, you know, that would be a lot of money.
But, and this thing may be able to even go up steps.
That's correct, yes, because you're basically bouncing on these two little wheels that are about 9.5, 10 inches in height, and his feet are on a pedestal, basically, a foot in the air, so he could fold up that place where he has his feet, and he could, essentially, the thickness of a human body, almost, he could squeeze into an area that small.
So this is going to give people in a wheelchair the mobility of people on two legs. I'd say that's pretty revolutionary. And it's and to repeat what we said last half hour, you said it's fast.
I said it's very fast, and it responds quickly. And again, the military applications like we're talking about, we might see that in Land Rovers on Mars probably using this system.
Whew. So it's a big one, all right. And this was just on a website, and somehow nobody put it all together because they didn't have the videotape you've got.
That's correct. Absolutely.
Well, how does it feel to break a monster story?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just trying to imagine what Richard's thinking right now.
Richard Hoagland?
Yeah.
I mean, thinking, hey, I hit it.
That's right. Yeah, it was funny. He'll probably laugh.
Yeah, he got very close, didn't he? I'll ask you what I asked you last half hour. On a scale of 100%, how sure are you that you've got it?
Well, considering when he first came in, he said, this is Ginger, and I didn't see a dog behind him walking. And, you know, I thought it was someone's pet. You know, I said, this is Ginger, and he's sitting on this thing riding it. I would say 99%.
99%. All right. Then, once again, what is depicted in the... I don't know, the... underground video that you have there that you managed to...
The video, it's just a small little conference hall with about maybe 30 people in it. He comes in and he goes up on a podium, which is elevated maybe about 5 feet, up a ramp. He travels up a ramp.
So you had a secret video camera then?
Yes, this camera has seen things that you couldn't even imagine. I still have it.
Robert, how do you get invited to these things?
I don't.
You're not going to say, are you?
Yeah.
I mean, somehow or another, you bluster your way past somehow, huh?
Yes, if there's a will, there's a way. People wonder how the heck I get in places. Yes, I could get virtually in any situation.
Uh-huh. Well, that's what a PI does, I guess.
Well, a friend of mine, it was really funny that he wonders when I was at the airport and I could speak with the president face-to-face.
Yes.
He goes, how do you do that? You know, I really don't know. And he tried it. He says, I'm going to try that. And the Secret Service threw him in a car and locked him at airport operations.
And somehow you managed to actually speak to the president.
Face-to-face, yes.
Yeah, there's a religious fellow who does that at every inauguration. CNN covered that. Somehow he always gets to the president, despite the Secret Service's best efforts. He gets right up and shakes hands with the president. Incidentally, folks, the picture of Dean Kamen that we've got a link to, assuming that link is still up and they don't yank it, we've saved the photograph, if they do. The picture is of Dean Kamen himself sitting in it next to President Clinton. Correct, Robert?
That is absolutely correct.
So we're breaking this one open big time.
That's right.
Let's give Robert's email address again. It's Project Rainbow.
Yeah, it's projectrainbow2000@yahoo.com. If anybody needs investigative work, if they have a spouse or somebody cheating on them or stuff, you know, the basic stuff, those are actually hilarious. The things that I've got are unbelievable.
I'm sure you do. Maybe we could do a... Well, actually, we couldn't do a program on that.
Not there's actually TV shows for that. You could see that.
I know there are, but there aren't radio shows for it. I can't do it. But yeah. I sure do appreciate your breaking the ginger story here. I mean, that's big time. And I suppose a lot of TV programs will probably come to you now, won't they?
They may. Yeah, they may.
Are you going to take the video you have and sell that to one of them?
I probably will do that, yes. You'll probably see it on television.
Shortly, I would imagine.
Yeah, maybe a week or two or a few. Depends, you know, how I feel. I usually try to get them scurrying.
You mean bidding?
Yeah.
I thought so. Well, you know, you're a real sweetheart for breaking this on my show. I really mean that.
Okay, Art, maybe we could talk about some other weird things that I've done. And trust me, I'm right next to Hoagland, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean, but ginger or it will do it for the night. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Right, take care. So we've got it, folks. Ginger, we've got the photograph of it. You heard Dean Kamen's voice describing the functionality of it. And I suppose if you think about it for a little while, for the handicapped, it's going to change the world. It will change the world for the handicapped, no question about it. So, photograph on the website, audio you've heard, Robert you've heard, and again, his email, and I'm sure that a lot of people are scrambling right now, is projectrainbow2000@yahoo.com. In a moment, we will proceed with our evening's guest. You know what's coming. Would you like to feel 10 years younger in 10 weeks? Now there's proof. The effects of aging can be slowed down and even reversed with HGH, human growth hormone. For some time now, you've heard me talk about the incredible age-reversing benefits of HGH. Well, according to thousands of articles, higher HGH levels can help you look and feel younger. That's why I take Ultimate HGH, a natural formula to help boost my body's own production of HGH. If your goal is to help improve energy, stamina, lose unwanted fat, diminish wrinkles, enhance memory, immune function, and vision, then Ultimate HGH is for you too. Why let Mother Nature get the best of you? Call today and order Ultimate HGH. And when you order two bottles of Ultimate HGH, you get the third absolutely free, about $33 a month. Now that's a tremendous savings off the typical $100 a month for comparable products. Plus, with your order, you'll receive a free book on HGH, a $20 value, absolutely free. So, call my good friends at Great American Products and order Ultimate HGH today at 1-800-557-4627. That's 1-800-557-4627. 1-800-557-4627.
At Radio Shack, the savings really add up when you multiply by free. Right now, a basic RCA DirecTV system and standard installation are free after a $200 DirecTV rebate when you subscribe to 1 year of Total Choice Premium programming at $49.99 a month or above. And if you sign up for 2 years of MSN Internet access at $21.95 a month, you also get a free $200 shopping spree. Great for upgrading your home entertainment system. That's three times free. Radio Shack, you've got questions, we've got answers.
Critics everywhere agree it's a must-do. Spellbinding, mesmerizing, astounding. Sears Super Saturday Sale, Saturday, March 3rd, 9 a.m. One day of heart-pounding excitement. One store filled with everything you could ever need. One sale you don't want to miss. Sears Super Saturday Sale. Be there. Starts Friday, March 2nd, 5 p.m. Sears, the good life at a great price guaranteed.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, what you've been waiting for now, many, many of you, it's been a long time. During the time I was gone, it was not done. And so we're going to be retreading a story that a lot of you have not heard. We have a gigantic new audience out there who has never heard the alien in the freezer story or the alien in the burrito story, or people call it a lot of things. This is one of the most hotly debated, controversial alien contact stories the world has ever seen. A lot of people say it's a fake, it's a fraud. A lot of people say it's the most magnificent example of contact that we've ever had, with the clearest, best photographs of an alien that have ever been taken by anybody, ever. And that's one of the reasons that a lot of people, I think, don't buy this story. The photographs, the evidence, is just too damn good. I've got two people, Dr. Jonathan Reed, who experienced all of this, on the line, and Robert Wraith, who very early on began to get involved with Dr. Jonathan Reed. And all we're going to have time for, I think, before the bottom of the hour break, since this has been such a crazy night, guys, is time to introduce ourselves. Dr. Jonathan Reed, are you there?
Yes, sir. Thank you for having us on.
You're very welcome. And you're at an undisclosed location, right?
Yes, sir.
And that's because you fear for your life.
Yes, every day.
What kind of doctor are you, doctor?
Developmental psychology. We did research with children.
Research with children, developmental psychology, huh? And you did that for how long and where?
I did that at the University of Washington, and from about 1983 to 1996.
Doctor, how do you spell your first name? Is it J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N?
Correct.
All right. I was sent something pretty interesting by somebody up in Seattle who said that proof that Jonathan Reed attended the University of Washington as a member of the staff or faculty on 8/21/1996. However, the Jonathan Reed that indeed was at Washington is spelled J-O-N-A-T-H-O-N.
Well, there's a lot of different spellings of that, and I've had it spelled both ways.
Oh, you have?
Yes.
So then, when somebody goes to this web address and checks the University of Washington for Jonathan Reed with an O at the end, is that you?
Well, if it's the one I think it is, it should be.
It says that you were there as of 8/21/96. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Okay. In that case, Keith, pull the trigger on that. And so you've used you've spelled your name both ways, doctor.
Well, I'm saying that people
have spelled
spell names
sure that's
in
true.
Many different ways.
Uh-huh. All right. So you believe that to be yourself up there?
As far as I can tell. I don't have a computer in front of me.
All right. Keith knows the web address. People can check it out for themselves. Doctor, are you practicing now?
No.
You're not?
No. I've been on the move ever since this happened. I literally dropped out of a normal life into literally living underground, living in my car.
Yeah, actually, for a while you were living in your car, weren't you?
For almost a year.
Assaulted, attempted murder, all
yeah.
kinds of things.
And it has continued.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk for a second. Robert Wraith, are you there?
Yes, I am, Art. How are you?
Good. How did you become involved with Dr. Jonathan Reed, and why, very quickly?
Well, I received the phone call some time ago, and the individual on the phone sounded very sincere, even though it was an incredible story. So I agreed to meet with this gentleman, who turned out to be Jonathan, at a public place, at a restaurant, and he began to tell me his story. After seeing the evidence and everything else firsthand for myself, I realized this was absolutely true. And being such, one of the most remarkably important events in the history of humankind. So I had to be a part of it, no matter what the risk.
I'm curious, what did he show you? Did he show you the photographs? I mean, the story by itself is one thing, but the photographs, of course, underline and give the story credibility. Is that what, when he sat at that restaurant with you, did he show you the photographs?
He showed me the photographs. I later saw the videos and some other things we won't go into right now.
Oh, there are other things?
Yes.
Oh, all right. At any rate, there you sat in the restaurant, and he virtually proved to your satisfaction that his story was true. And you said what? Let me represent you, doctor, or help you, or what?
No, it was a long process, as I said. It took some time for me to agree to be a part of this because there was tremendous risks involved on many levels.
There still are tremendous risks involved, right?
That is absolutely correct.
But ultimately, you did agree to help him.
Ultimately, I did, yes, because I'm a person that wants to help out humanity any way
All right.
I can.
All right, we're at the bottom of the hour. Hold on. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM, and we'll be right back.
Today's economy, you need the latest business news, and you need it now. How is the NASDAQ performing? The New York Stock Exchange? With your future retirement depending on how your investments are doing, you need the latest information to make the right decisions. On News Talk 1230 WMFR, you'll get more business news than any other radio station. Each morning between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m., each day during the noon hour, and each afternoon from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., you'll hear two business reports each hour at 24 past the hour. Find out the latest information from ABC's Business Week report. And then at 10 minutes before each hour, you get another update from the CBS MarketWatch.com report. In addition, you can find out the latest business news and track your stocks on our website at WMFR.com. If you need business news, then you'll find it right here on News Talk 1230 WMFR and on WMFR.com. News Talk 1230 WMFR and High Point Regional Health System have teamed up to bring you Regional Health Talk. Each Tuesday from 10 to 11 a.m., health care experts from High Point Regional will be here to discuss the health issues that matter to you. They'll provide accurate information on timely topics and answer your questions on the air. Take control of your health and join us for Regional Health Talk each Tuesday at 10 a.m. on News Talk 1230 WMFR. Are you or someone you know having a birthday? Why not let everyone know about it and at the same time maybe win great prizes? Call the WMFR birthday hotline at 885-2197. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can leave a birthday name for the WMFR birthday club. And each weekday morning at 7:40, Max Meeks reads the names and awards a lucky person prizes, including a birthday cake. Call the WMFR birthday hotline at 885-2197. 885-2197. The birthday hotline from News Talk 1230 WMFR.
Some days your busy schedule doesn't allow you time to watch the news on Fox 8. That's why Fox 8 News has teamed up with WMFR to provide you the information you want. Hi, I'm Neil McNeil. Tune in every weekday afternoon at 5 and listen to the Fox 8 News right here on the radio. WMFR and Fox 8 News, information that's convenient to you.
The Fox 8 News, heard weekday afternoons at 5 o'clock on News Talk 1230 WMFR.
Welcome to the age of information, an era of unlimited resources, but none so vital as the Wall Street Journal. Successful people everywhere make it the most important part of their business day. And now, for a limited time, you can make the Wall Street Journal a part of yours for 50% off the regular subscription rate. 50% off. The Wall Street Journal delivers what you need most today. Everything from top news to investing and online trading, career matters and tips on balancing your work and family life. And on Friday, the Journal includes an engaging entertainment and lifestyle section called Weekend Journal, recognized for its feature columns on just about everything that helps you make the most of your weekend. Imagine the topics that interest you most all in one comprehensive publication, The Wall Street Journal, now for just 37 cents a day. That's 8 weeks free delivery for 50% off the regular subscription rate. Subscribe now. This limited time offer is for new subscribers in the continental U.S. Call now, 800-345-9400. That's 800-345-9400 for The Wall Street Journal.
Hi, I'm Mariette Hartley. I've suffered with poor vision for over 20 years, always needing stronger and stronger glasses. Like everyone else, I felt trapped. I would have done anything to improve my vision. Desperate and thinking I had no other options, I even considered expensive and risky laser surgery. Boy, was I wrong. I discovered a powerful at-home program called the See Clearly Method, based on 50 years of combined research with amazing results. In just minutes a day, I'm seeing better. And my son Sean was completely out of his glasses after only a few weeks. And best of all, it can help almost anyone.
No, if a cold is right, I need to find an answer on the road. I used to be a hard beating for someone, but the times have changed. Days more my work gets done. Cause I live free.
Want to take a ride? Well, call Art Bell from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. The wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. And to reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0900. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Network.
It sure is. We're breaking the ginger or it story this morning. And before any more of you write to say, well, it was on Barbara Walters or 2020. Yeah, we know. We told you it was hiding in plain sight. Indeed, they have done features on this before. However, they haven't put together what my guest Robert Steensen put together. He got into that private scientific conference in which Dean Kamen came out in it, identified it as Ginger, and described its operation. He's got the video. He got in there somehow. I don't know how. When you put that together with what's been made public, what we found on a public website, that is to say a picture of it with Dean Kamen and the President of the United States, it becomes more than just a little obvious. That's it. So there you are. That's how it all got put together. Whether it's right or not, who knows? I suspect it is right. If it is, you heard it here. If it isn't, you heard it here too. That's the way it goes. In the meantime, we're doing a show now. We've kind of turned the corner here, aside from all the stuff on the website tonight. We've got a lot up there with Dr. Jonathan Reed and Robert Rafe and others yet to be named. The most incredible, controversial alien contact story the world has ever seen. Absolutely astounding. And there's more of it coming right up. We'll get to the very beginning of it all, the genesis of what happened to Dr. Reed.
I first got my computer for email, and before you know it, I'm a real dot-commer. My son says, Mom, you're ready. File your taxes with IRS e-file. With direct deposit, you catch a refund in as little as 10 days. So I did it, safe and easy. Even signed it by computer. Got my refund so fast, I hadn't even spent it yet.
40 million people already know e-file's the way to go.
Visit the IRS website at www.irs.gov.
Let's get this.
When this lousy winter weather sends my seasonal attitude disorder into overdrive, I just book some low-cost, last-minute airfare on Priceline.com, and since there are never any blackout dates, before you can say, Copacabana, I'll be lying back and soaking up some rays instead of screaming at my therapist. Priceline.com. It's the au naturel choice.
Bad day? Get away now with Priceline.com.
How you doing on the Battle of the Bulge out there? Well, I am losing some weight. I had a pretty good bulge. You know what it comes from? It comes from sitting doing a five-hour radio program every night. That's what it comes from. And just relaxing and not exercising. You know, when you do a sedentary job like this, why, you begin to get a belly. Well, mine's receding. Yours can too. Ultimate Slim is a way to do it. Here's what Ultimate Slim does. It increases your metabolism, gets everything going faster. So obviously you burn your fat away into energy. Because you're just, even if you're just sitting there, your metabolism is moving faster. It relieves bloating, so the inches disappear around the waistline. It controls your appetite. It even controls sugar cravings. Can you imagine all that? Oh, yes, it's in Ultimate Slim, and it can be yours. It's a really, really good guaranteed deal. Here it is. Order two bottles of Ultimate Slim. The next two bottles are free. They all come together. That means you save half off right away. And then finally, it's guaranteed to work. You get your money back. Call 1-800-557-4627. Comes from Great American Products. It's Ultimate Slim, and you can get it by calling 1-800, are you writing this down? 557-4627. All right, back now to my current guests, Dr. Jonathan Reed and Robert Rafe. Gentlemen, welcome back.
Thank you, Art.
Thank you, Art.
All right, we've got a gazillion new affiliates out there, a lot of new listeners, a lot of people that have never heard this story. So rewind your life, Dr. Reed, if you would, please. And you were a practicing clinical psychologist for children.
Correct.
And I guess what you were what? Out on a weekend hike or vacation or what? And where?
Well, I was on a day hike, middle of the day, and with my dog, Susie, Golden Retriever. This happened October 15th, 1996. And we had gone for day hikes many times before. And this was in Washington State.
What was that? What day of the week was that? October 15th of 96?
Yes.
What day of the week was it?
I believe it was a Tuesday.
A Tuesday. All right. So okay. you had
That was 4 years plus ago, so... And a lot has happened since.
Yeah, sure has. All right, so you were out on a day hike. You had your Golden Retriever with you. I love those. They're great dogs.
Right. We drove to the mountains, the Cascade Mountains, about 60 miles east of Seattle, about 15 miles northeast of Snoqualmie Pass, to give you an idea where this is. It's a pristine mountainous area full of lots of trails and hiking areas and good places for dogs to run. And so I parked my Jeep. We got out and we started walking. And this was an October day, a little bit overcast when we started. But a beautiful day. We have lots of evergreens and just a pristine area.
How high up is it, do you know?
This is up along the tree line. We're talking about 5,000 feet.
Okay.
And like I say, it's not far from Snoqualmie Pass. But we had been walking by streams and rocks and lots of wildlife for about an hour and a half. When all of a sudden, my dog took off like a streak. And this wasn't unusual, because dogs do that sort of thing. You know, they're either chasing raccoons or squirrels or deer. And, which earlier in the day we had seen a deer. So I wasn't immediately, upset over this. And Susie was very well trained and obedient. She would come to me, when I would call her, so I wasn't too upset. But she took off and was out of sight quite a ways, probably 150 yards ahead over some different paths.
you know, with some foliage in between me and her. And,
sure, so you couldn't see her.
I couldn't see her, and she started barking, and again, I wasn't too worried. You know, I figured something was out there. And I called a couple times, and she didn't come back, but all of a sudden, the barking changed. The tone of her barking changed from being just, you know, eager to find whatever she was after to almost like she was being treed or mauled herself. And I ran up a little bit farther down the path toward her.
Kind of like a frantic, you can tell when an animal's, the whole tone of the bark changes to sort of a flight for life kind of bark.
Right, and a real yelp.
Yeah.
Versus just a bark.
I know what you're talking about.
And so I ran up closer to where she was, and still I couldn't see her. And I thought she might be engaged with a bear or a cat. We have some wildcats in the area. And so I dropped my pack, and I grabbed a branch that was laying next to the path, a little bit larger than a baseball bat. And I thought maybe if I could find her, I could fend her off with this or something. And so I proceeded to run up to the edge of this rise and ran over the top of the rise. And as soon as I got over the rise, I saw my dog engaged with this creature. And
when you first saw the creature, Doctor, how did it register in your mind? Because this obviously is an alien being, and how did it register? Did it register as, oh my God, it's an alien, or you did you immediately think animal of some kind, or what?
Well, first of all, prior to this happening, I was not a believer. I was not involved in anything to do with this kind of study. I didn't even like science fiction, to be honest.
Oh.
And so alien was about as far from my mind as could be.
So then how did your brain register?
My brain saw this shape, and when I came over the rise and stood within about 15 feet from this thing, I saw what looked like a vibrating body, approximately 4 to 4.5 feet tall. It had a head. It had arms and legs. It was dark in color, the body. And it was vibrating, massively vibrating, like a paint shaker would vibrate a can of paint. So
almost to a blur then.
All I could see was this blur of this outline.
Yep, yep.
And the blur of my dog holding what looked like its left arm. But when I took a moment, and this all happened with 15 to 20 seconds in total time.
I hear you.
I yelled for my dog to let go because I assumed my dog had this thing by the arm, and it was childlike in size, and I didn't know.
So you brought out, oh my God, I've got to get my dog off this child.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And the canopy of this area was very dense and dark within the trees where this was happening. So, and with the vibration, I could not clearly see what this was. But then all of a sudden, I could see the appendage, which I took to be the arm of this thing, tearing the head off of my dog, ripping her head right in half, blood dripping everywhere, and her literally starting to come apart at the seams.
What do you mean, come apart at the seams?
I mean her body being ripped at the jaw, her head torn back from her body, exposing all of her insides and blood dripping everywhere. I yelled at this thing and just out of sheer desperation jumped forward and took this branch and hit it as hard as I could.
So your brain then did a flip from, my God, my dog's attacking a child or a childlike form, to, oh my God, whatever this is, it's killing my dog.
Right, and I'm next.
One of the things that happened, too, Art, that's important to say here.
Yes, Robert.
Is when the atmosphere of the area around Jonathan became resistant, it was hard for him to move for a time. The other thing was that a small hole opened up on Susie.
Susie literally started to implode into herself as if a hole opened up beneath her head in her neck. And she started to literally crease and fold into this hole with her body dissolving in front of me.
God. So, yes, I suppose at this point, A, you wanted to save your dog or get revenge for your dog's death. It was all happening at once, you know, and this is just seconds. So you picked up what?
Well, I had picked up, before going over the rise, this branch, this makeshift bat. And
so it's a pretty thick one.
Yeah, it's a little bit longer than a baseball bat.
All right.
And I wielded this thing as hard as I could and hit this creature in the head, splitting its skull open about 1.5 to 1 inch on the left side.
I assume at this point it began to not vibrate so much.
Well, it fell back and fell about 4 feet from where it was standing. I almost
You whacked it 4 feet away.
Yeah, but right. I almost missed
by
it.
By this time your dog is gone?
My dog had fell to the ground, like I said, dissolving into what sounds like an unbelievable sight of a hole. Now is the only thing left on the ground was a white ash.
Okay, so at the point you smacked the alien, your dog was nothing but ash.
That's right.
You hit the alien. It fell back 4 feet. You fractured its skull?
Yes. As far as I was concerned, I killed it.
You looked down and
screamed at the same time that it did.
Was its skull open?
Yes. There was an opening in a breach in the skull, and there was skin and bone and intracranial material exposed.
If any of you doubt any of this, we've got photographs to back it all up on the website right now. Go to my website, and when you get there, simply go to program, I think, and then you go to tonight's guest. You go to Dr. Jonathan Reed. You go to Reed Photos of Alien and Artifacts, so you can follow us along here. When you click on them, they get larger. The first one you're probably going to want to click on is what's called the obelisk, and we'll get to that in a moment. But here's this thing lying on the ground.
Right, Art, I'd like to just add in here.
Yes.
You know, none of this was a conscious act. I mean, like I said, this all happened within 15 to 20 seconds, and if you count that down, that's a very short amount of time, and I only reacted. It was just a total unconscious reaction.
Yeah, when you tell it over the period of 30 minutes, it almost sounds like, well, you know, you could have debated the thing and said, gee, this might be an alien creature important to Earth and important to humanity, and I shouldn't hit it. But that isn't the way it came down. It came down in seconds.
It might not have been a conscious effort, too, also on the extraterrestrial Freddy, because it's believed now that it was actually the suit Freddy was wearing that formed the pseudopod that attacked Susie.
Oh, that's
actually an extension of the suit that he was wearing, which is a black, skin-tight suit. It extended itself out over its arm and onto the head of Susie, ripping it back. So almost like another arm.
Huh. Huh.
It was a terrible sight.
All right. So now you're standing there with this baseball bat-sized stick in your hand, an alien creature lying on the ground, its skull split open, bleeding. What color?
Red.
Red.
Cherry dark red.
Like
same
our
color
blood.
As ours. But let me explain. The second I hit this thing and it fell to the ground, so did I, with a crippling sickness that overtook me just like a freight train. I was so sick instantly that I had terrible nausea. I was throwing up for what seemed like an eternity. I had diarrhea. I could not stand. I could not even move for probably 30 minutes without just crawling maybe 2 or 3 feet in a circle. I could not get up.
All right, that's shock. You were in shock.
That's a good analysis.
I don't know what else it would be. You were in shock.
Well, it kept going for almost 3 days.
All right, so the initial shock wears off to the point where you can sit up again, I guess, right?
Yes, about an hour after I had been there, I tried to crawl around. I knew I had some water in my pack. And I was trying to get up, and then I would fall back down. And I figured if I needed to get out of here eventually, I needed to get some water. So I thought about getting to my pack. Like I said, I would get up, I'd fall down. And then all of a sudden, I heard a sound. a sound coming from somewhere down the path. And I thought, all right, it's another hiker, it's another camper.
Thank God.
You know, thank God. And I needed help big time because this was, I felt like I was going to die. I mean, I felt like this was it.
Gotcha.
And this sound, I thought, well, it's a kind of a harmonic sound. I first thought, well, somebody's got their radio on or something, but it was a low ebb harmonic. And I kind of, you know, walked a few feet up the path and couldn't see anything. And then I got this really strange feeling like this wasn't right. Everything in this site wasn't right. Ever since I had hit this thing, there was no sound of any animals. There was no sound of any wind. There was nothing was the way it should have been.
The entire atmosphere was wrong.
The ground felt spongy, like wet cement. The air felt dense and thick and totally wrong from what it should have been. So I kind of ran back to where I had originally lost my dog. And in doing so, I looked through some trees, through a grove of trees, and saw what looked like almost a mirage, where the trees bend a little bit in the light.
Yes.
But this was not, it shouldn't have been happening. There was not enough light in this area to create that because of this deep, heavy canopy, tree canopy.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't make sense, but the sound seemed to be coming from over there. So I ran over to that area, and that's when I saw the obelisk, this black floating obelisk.
We've got photographs, very doggone good photographs. I scanned them myself, folks, of the obelisk. I scanned the photographs that they sent, and I scanned a negative they sent as well. The obelisk is, I don't know how you describe this.
It's a black, diamond-shaped, six-sided object.
Almost diamond-shaped. It's pseudo-diamond-shaped.
Right, kind of a marquee diamond.
Right.
Laying on its side. It measured about 2.5 by 3 feet tall, about 4 by 4.5 feet wide, and 9, 9.5 feet long.
And it's just hanging there in midair.
It's hanging in midair.
Anchored to the air.
Anchored to the air, yeah, that's right. There's no question about that in the photograph. There is absolutely no question. Now,
I ran over to this thing and ran through the brush and up to it, and it was sitting in kind of a field of ferns, right above the ferns.
Yep.
And I could not judge the topography of the ground under the ferns, and I slipped and fell against this thing.
You fell against it.
And when I fell against it, I burned my hand, just like you would be touching dry ice. And it was cold, and it was hard, like stone, like granite or marble. And I backed off of it, and I tried to get up, and again, I was sick, and I was throwing up violently. And I pushed against this thing to stand up, and it would not move. It would not move a fraction of an inch. It wasn't just floating. It was cemented in place, like Robert said, anchored to the air. And there was nothing underneath it. There was nothing over it.
So if you fell into it, it didn't budge when you fell into it? It stayed right where?
It didn't move a fraction of an inch.
So it was like hitting a wall?
Yes.
So here's this thing hovering in midair. You're sick. You're sick in every way a person can be sick. You stumble into it. It doesn't budge. You look at it. It's hanging in midair. It's defying gravity. What is it at that point that's flashing through your mind? What do you think you just bumped into?
Like I said, nothing made any sense except for the fact that I knew I was so sick, I was afraid that I was never going to be able to get out of there. And I thought about my pack that I had dropped because it had some water in it. And I thought, okay, if I can get back to that, I can, you know, relieve myself a little bit. And I had problems breathing. I had problems standing.
I can believe it.
I mean, I went down the entire gamut of sickness.
All right, you two, hold on. We're at the top of the hour. We're going to pause right here. One of the wildest stories ever told, followed by the revelation of what it or Ginger is. And again, you heard it right here first. You may have seen it elsewhere, but you heard it put together here.
She's got something to move my soul, and she knows I love to love her.
News and information. There's only one station in the High Point area that actually specializes in providing news and information. Conditioning of High Point and News Talk 1230 WMFR.
05. Call Art Bell from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. The wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. And to call Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
Well, good morning, everybody. We have broken the story of Ginger, or it. It was hiding in plain sight. Yes, we know. This device has actually been seen on with Barbara Walters, we think. It's on a website which was hiding in plain sight. And we had Robert Stinson on. I was close. Who attended a secret scientific conference and videotaped the secret scientific conference with Dean Kamen coming on stage saying, "This is Ginger," he says. And then you heard the audio of Dean Kamen describing it. You put that together with a photograph we've got of it. And Dean Kamen sitting in it, we think, next to the President of the United States, we know. You put all that together. What's been hiding in plain sight, and what Robert got for us. And well, you make up your own mind. That's either it or it isn't it. But it's something. We think it's it. Robert says 99% guarantee this is it. He's put it together. You judge it for yourself. Either way, you heard it first here. Also, we are in the middle of airing the most controversial alien contact story. Close Encounter is definitely of the third kind here, of Dr. Jonathan Reed. And we'll get back to all of that in a moment, if you'll just stay right where you are. That and everything else supported on the website. If you want to see the alien photographs, you go to the website, you go to program and tonight's guest info, and just scroll down till you see the name Dr. Jonathan Reed, and then the photographs are all laid out there for you to see, including the obelisk, which we're very much talking about right now. And then close-ups of the alien itself. It's all up there for you to see, along with so much more. Don't forget, rocketry all weekend long during the daylight hours. Join us as we watch amateurs launch rockets from a dry lake bed near Boulder City, Nevada. All of that going on and so much more on the website. All the R&R pictures up there now, just before airtime. Million reasons to go to www.artbell.com. And join in on the visual journey as we continue to move through the night. Stay right there.
From FX, The tragedy.
We've got 47 men dead.
The cover-up.
You're compromising an investigation.
The truth.
What happened in that gun turret?
Sunday night, one of the biggest cover-ups in naval history.
I believe the Navy is scapegoating a dead man to protect itself.
Becomes the most controversial television movie event of the year. James Caan.
This goes way beyond disloyalty.
What you say will carry more weight than anything.
A Glimpse of Hell, based on a true story. World premiere this Sunday night at 8 Eastern Pacific, only on FX.
Never miss another Coast to Coast show again. The new Talk Radio Recorder is a compact portable unit that records your favorite radio programs. The new Talk Radio Recorder is completely self-contained with AM/FM, built-in stereo speakers with headphones and timer. It's easy to use and can tape up to 4 hours of continuous programming using a standard audio cassette. For more information or to order online...
First-time callers, area code 775-727-1222.
TalkRadioRecorder.com.
Let me give that one more time in case it didn't get out. It's www.talkradio.com. TalkRadioRecorder.com, actually. www.talkradiorecorder.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, back to the story. All right, we have Dr. Reed with us, Dr. Jonathan Reed. We have Robert Wraith. There will be others as the program continues. Gentlemen, welcome back.
Welcome.
Thank you, Art.
All right, Dr. Reed, you're in shock. You go back to your pack to get water. I think that's where we were.
Get some water, and at the same time, I remembered, God, I've got some cameras. I have my cameras with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, that's it. I'm taking pictures, if for no other reason, to keep my own sanity, you know, so that I didn't know, you know, what was going on at this point. So I literally took out my camera,
right,
and I took pictures of everything that was at the site. I took pictures of the obelisk. I took pictures of the alien. I took every bit of film I had, which at the time was about three rolls of color film, 35-millimeter film, and I shot a bunch of videotape. And
It seems like a good place just to stop here very quickly. Somebody in Milwaukee, Wisconsin says, look, if these pictures of the objects are real, of the object, the obelisk, and the alien are real, why do they look computer generated? It's a fascinating story nonetheless. Well, let me guarantee the audience, I'm the one who scanned those photographs, folks. I had the raw photographs in my hand, not computer generated anything. I'm telling the audience, fake, real, whatever, I'm the guy who scanned them. So they're real photographs. Moreover, they sent me the negative of the photographs. I even scanned the negative, and there's the negative is up there as well. So whatever they are, they're not computer-generated. Proceed, Doctor.
And Eastman Kodak and other professionals have verified them as well, Art. But anyway, back
well, yeah, it's obvious. They're real pictures. They're not. I just wanted to get that out of the way. You know,
right.
Take the criticisms as they come, one at a time.
Well, right. There's going to be some very interesting things said about the photographs tonight that will finally lay that to rest.
That's good. Okay.
Anyway, back at the site, my intention again was to get out of the woods alive. And, you know, I'm jumping and crawling and trying to stay conscious and breathing so hard I felt like I was going to pass out constantly,
sure,
like I said, for ongoing of 2 hours. And finally deciding I had to get out of here because it was starting to get dark. And it gets dark in the forest very fast.
Yes, it does.
And I didn't know if I could get 100 yards, let alone an hour and a half, back to where I had parked my Jeep.
Meanwhile, all this time, the obelisk remains hovering in midair?
Exactly where I found it.
And the alien remains apparently dead, lying on the ground, bleeding?
Absolutely. I took another branch, what I found over by where the obelisk was, which was 75 to 100 feet away from where the alien fell, and literally scraped the ground underneath it to remove a lot of the foliage and the ferns so that I could see absolutely that there was nothing underneath it. And when I did that, the stick that I was using felt like it was, as it would pass underneath this black floating shape, it felt like it was going into molasses. The air felt thick and dense directly underneath it.
And what about when you touched this thing? Was it
cold?
It was cold like dry ice, but it felt like stone. And when I originally had fell against it, the tone that it was giving out, this low ebbing harmonic, this kind of a irritating sound, instantly changed to a more pleasant sound, a lighter sound.
All right. All right, so anyway, you had enough presence of mind by this time, hours have gone by, to grab your camera and to begin taking photographs. Describe the photographs that we have on the website, what you took.
Well, I took pictures, I took approximately three rolls of still 35-millimeter pictures, both slides and prints, and I took probably... an estimate of about 10 to 15 minutes of videotape.
We'll describe the videotape. I've seen the videotape. Not a lot of people have, but I have seen it.
Right.
Some others, I think, did you show that in Laughlin?
Yes,
okay, so others have now seen the videotape.
Yes.
But going back to the still photographs, because that's what people can see on the website right now, the obelisk, we've got two shots of the obelisk. It's extremely clear. Some people say it's too damn clear, and that's what they, you know, they can't swallow that.
Art, is the picture of it clear?
Yes, it is.
Well, I guess it can't be real then.
Yeah, I know. Well, there's two problems with ufology. One is when pictures are too fuzzy, then they're not real. When they're too good, they're not real. So I don't know how you get a real picture of an alien or of... And by the way, the obelisk was not a craft. It wouldn't have been large enough, we think, for this creature to have come in it, right?
That is my perception. And since living with this nightmare for the last 4 years, I've come to believe that it was much more than a ship or a craft, more like a doorway, a portal.
It's believed that it's anchored in two places at one time. It's the target spot, which at this point would have been Earth, and wherever entity was coming from.
Possibly a biomorphic gate of some type.
All right. All right, so you never saw it go anywhere because you left before it did.
I could not move it. I tried, and it would not budge. After taking the pictures...
Maybe that's Dean Kamen's thing.
Maybe.
Anyway, there it is, hovering in midair. You're taking photographs of it.
I took all the photographs I had. A lot of
people ask, how could you... I mean, you were in bad condition, doctor. How could you have been in decent enough condition to get such good, well-focused, well-lighted photographs?
Well, first of all, the equipment that I had was fairly good. I had a Nikon 35-millimeter camera that automatically sets its own shutter speed to the light condition.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I didn't have to worry that much about that. And focusing wasn't a problem. It wasn't moving anywhere. And I was laying on the ground, spread eagle, and, propping my arms up to use as a tripod so I could take a fairly good picture.
Mm-hmm.
But the point was, is I took everything I had. I had my pack. I had drugged my pack over at that point. I had consumed most of my water. And I thought, what am I going to do now? I'm going to try to go home. I'm going to try to, explain this. I was afraid of what I had done. I didn't know what I had killed. I wasn't sure what this was. My mind would not let me go there. I would constantly get violently sick, throwing up.
Well, for those who have not seen the video, actually, folks, part of it is the good doctor running through the woods and getting sick as he goes and getting violently ill, and you can hear him tossing his cookies, and you can hear him hyperventilating. And you can see all that as he runs through the woods. No question about it. I mean, you were obviously in bad shape, and I don't blame you. If this really happened to me, I'd be in bad shape, too.
Yeah.
Anybody would be in bad shape. That should be understood.
Well, I'll tell you, it was there's no way to conceptualize what this was like, because it was like nothing I could ever imagine. After dealing with this, many people have said that my condition was very, very similar to that of somebody who had extreme radiation exposure.
Okay. I'll even accept that. I guess you could describe it many ways. Anyway, it was time to get the hell out of there.
It was time to get out of there. I went, threw my camera back into my pack, realizing that I had very little supplies with me. I had a thermal blanket. I had a knife. I didn't have a shovel. I didn't have a pick. I had some dog food. That's about all I had. And I thought, thermal blanket, maybe I can cover this body up and bring somebody back to help me, to deal with what I had done, so I could show someone, because it was unbelievable to me. And so I basically thought about hiding this thing. I thought about taking it and covering it up,
mm-hmm.
putting the thermal blanket over it, and maybe putting stones around the edges of the thermal blanket so that animals wouldn't get to the body. Because this area is frequented by lots of animals. And my mind was not being very rational. I wasn't thinking very clearly. So I threw the thermal blanket out and I thought, okay, if I can somehow get this thing into this blanket, maybe I can cover it up. Well, I couldn't find any rocks to do what I had thought about doing, because the rocks that I found were buried. I mean, this is part of the mountain, and there just wasn't anything loose. And like I said, I didn't have a shovel, and I just had a pocket knife. So I thought about rolling this thing up and then maybe covering it with some branches against the hillside that I was next to. So I basically covered the thing with the thermal blanket, and I didn't want to touch it. Believe me, I did not want to touch it.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of used the thermal blanket in between me and it and rolled it up into the thermal blanket. And as I did this, I realized that this thing was extremely light. It only weighed about 50 pounds. And that is incredibly light. My dog weighed 100 pounds.
That's like a child.
Right. So as I rolled it up, I realized I could literally pick up the thermal blanket and pick up the entire body. So I grabbed that and lifted it up with my pack straps and tried to find a place to put it. I was hoping to find a secure area, maybe off the beaten path. As I was looking around, there wasn't any place to put it.
Mm-hmm.
So I tied it up, much like a sleeping bag or burrito, and I carried it down, started walking down the trail with my pack in my other hand and looking for a place to put this, stopping to get sick, stopping to rest, hoping to find a place.
How far did you have to go to get back to your car?
Well, I had walked to this point approximately between an hour and a half. So it was the same distance back to my Jeep.
That is still a long way, Doctor, to carry 50 pounds with a pack on your back, too.
Well, not in some circumstances. I mean, I wanted out of there.
You probably had enough adrenaline going, actually, to pick up a car and carry it, but anyway.
Anyway, I looked for a place to put it, and I ended up back where my Jeep was in, like, no time.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it was incredible how little time it felt like it took. And once back to the Jeep, I walked up to the Jeep, I opened the back end, and I put this body in the back end of my Jeep and closed the door. I was like a walking zombie. And I crawled into the driver's seat and sat there and thought, what is going on? This has got to be an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
None of this is real.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked over where my dog normally sat, and she wasn't there. And she was always there when I was in this place. And I looked in the rearview mirror and saw this rolled up thermal blanket. And I knew
it was all real.
That some of this had to be real.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started to drive home. And I drove down the road and got onto the highway. And I stopped at a ranger station because I needed help. And there was nobody there. I don't know where he was. I don't know if he was out, you know, doing dinner, but there was no one there.
What time was it by now?
It was approximately 5:30.
In the evening, okay.
And I just kept going. And pretty soon, you know, I'd stop. and I'd have to pull over because I literally was so sick, I was throwing up blood in my car. And I kept going and going, and I finally got home.
You made it home.
And I pulled in my driveway, and I sat in my carport for a long time, just numb to
trying to figure out, probably trying to figure out what to do next. A lot of people would have gone in the house and called the cops.
Well, I basically thought, what am I going to do? You know, what has gone on here? Maybe I need to bury this thing. Maybe I need to hide it because I didn't know what I had killed.
Yeah, that's a good point. You wouldn't...
And my mind was spinning out of control because nothing fit my world. And at that point, I basically said, I've got to put this somewhere. I've got to put it somewhere. So I ended up taking it out of the Jeep and putting it in my garage, in my large freezer.
You have one of those casket-like freezers.
Right.
And so you open it, you had enough room, or did you have to take stuff out?
No, there was hardly anything in there.
Good thing. Wouldn't want to eat anyway.
So I put it in there, I closed the lid, locked it, and I went in the house.
Did you leave the thermal blanket around it? I mean...
Yes.
Okay, I think I would have too. So, thermal blanket and all, you lowered into the freezer, locked the freezer?
Locked the freezer.
Went into the house.
The freezer lock was kind of, you know, half working and half not.
Yep.
I went into the house, I got some water, I tried to clean up, I tried to calm down, and I went to the phone and I called my girlfriend, she wasn't home. I left a message on her answering machine, you know, call me as soon as you can.
Sure.
And then I called another friend of mine, Gary, and I said, call me. I need your help now. And then I sat down and I tried to calm down.
So like usual, you get answering machines everywhere when you want
to. Right. And I tried to put some of this in some kind of order, which didn't make any sense. And for a long time, I just drank some water, and I sat there in this numb state till finally I believed myself to have created this illusion. And I thought, my dog has got to be in the freezer. I must have somehow...
Flipped
my
out?
My dog got killed.
You flipped out.
I flipped out, and I brought her home.
Killed my dog, yeah. I understand all these emotions. So what? You went...
So at that point, I went back out
to the
sea.
Yeah.
And I walked back out there to the garage, and I opened the thermal blanket, and it wasn't my dog.
Okie dokie. So you probably closed the thermal blanket, closed the freezer back up, then what?
Actually, I didn't.
You didn't?
At that point, I opened it up, I brushed it off, and I carried it into the house and put it in my rec room, and I got my video camera out, and I videotaped it.
Just laying there, blood probably on the...
And you've seen that videotape.
I've seen the videotape, but more importantly, I want to talk about the things that we have on the website that everybody can see. There are two really important photographs of the alien. One actually shows somebody, I guess it's you, Doctor?
Yes.
Is that your hand with the gloves on?
Yes, that okay. was taken at a later time.
At a later time. Okay,
right.
So the first photograph then is just of the alien lying on this thermal blanket.
Right. That was taken when I brought it home and opened that up in my house.
And in this photograph, you clearly see the alien's head. You can see what would appear to be blood vessels. You can see a mouth. You can see what looks like a nose appendage. I don't think there's any ears. It is obviously not human. No question about the fact it's not human. And so that's where you took the first photograph?
Yes. Those are the first photographs that I took after I brought it home.
So you took the pictures. You're still by yourself at this point. Then
right.
what?
Well, then finally, I got a phone call from my friend,
All
Gary.
Right, good. That's a good place to break it off. Hold it right there, Doctor. Dr. Jonathan Reed, we're going to try to race through the rest of this story. We got new stuff for you on this story, but it was important that you hear how all this happened. Follow along on the web if you want. We've got detailed, high-resolution photographs up there for you. Some people say they're just too good. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
In today's economy, you need the latest business news, and you need it now. How is the NASDAQ performing? The New York Stock Exchange? With your future retirement depending on how your investments are doing, you need the latest information to make the right decisions. On News Talk 1230 WMFR, you'll get more business news than any other radio station. Each morning between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m., each day during the noon hour, and each afternoon from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., you'll hear two business reports each hour at 24 past the hour. Find out the latest information from ABC's Business Week Report. And then at 10 minutes before each hour, you get another update from the CBS MarketWatch.com report. In addition, you can find out the latest business news and track your stocks on our website at WMFR.com. If you need business news, then you'll find it right here on News Talk 1230 WMFR and on WMFR.com.
This is WMFR News Director Larry Craven. I've been covering news in the High Point area for 30 years, all of it right here on News Talk 1230 WMFR. If you want to stay informed about what's going on in your community, just keep it right here on WMFR. I bring you 16 local news reports each day, including the Noon News Review, an hour of news, weather, business reports, and, of course, Paul Harvey news and comment. WMFR News. I hope you enjoy listening to it as much as I enjoy bringing it to you, right here on News Talk 1230 WMFR.
Hi, this is Max Meeks from News Talk 1230 WMFR. Gosh, I've been talking to folks in the High Point area on WMFR weekday mornings for years. We talk about events going on in the community. Our meteorologist, Elliot Abrams, brings us the weather. Larry Craven, the local news. Paul Harvey, Charles Osgood, business news, the birthday club, so much more. It's what you need to get you started in the morning in the High Point. Max in the morning, weekdays from 5:30 to 9, News Talk 1230 WMFR.
Hello, this is Judy Mendenhall, inviting you to join Larry Craven and me on News Talk 1230 WMFR each Wednesday from 9 to 10 in the morning. Ours is a new show featuring the High Point Chamber of Commerce. Each week, we bring in interesting guests and provide valuable information about chamber programs and activities. We also highlight local business people who are our members. Tune us in. I think you'll like what you hear, and you may even learn a few things.
Are you consumed with worry and feelings of hopelessness and overwhelm? Do you ever worry about your health, your sanity, or even your effectiveness? Are the smallest tasks sometimes just too much effort? Do you ever avoid things? I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety, and a recovered sufferer. If you're someone who suffers silently, you know that emotional pain can be as devastating as physical pain. Ask yourself this: how badly do you want to feel good? How badly do you want to end the cycle of worry, limitations, and feelings of hopelessness? How badly do you want to feel energetic, confident, and happy again? How badly do you want to feel secure, peaceful, and in control of your life? I've developed a program that's used worldwide by professionals, as well as hundreds of thousands of people just like you. You don't have to live with anxiety and depression, and medication isn't the long-term answer. Please call 1-800-ANXIETY for a free tape about this special program. Call 1-800-ANXIETY. That's 1-800-ANXIETY.
Welcome to the age of information, an era of unlimited resources, but none so vital as the Wall Street Journal. Successful people everywhere make it the most important part of their business day. And now, for a limited time, you can make the Wall Street Journal a part of yours for 50% off the regular subscription rate. 50% off. The Wall Street Journal delivers what you need most today. Everything from top news to investing and online trading, career matters, and tips on balancing your work and family life. And on Friday, the Journal includes an engaging entertainment and lifestyle section called Weekend Journal, recognized for its feature columns on just about everything that helps you make the most.
I learned in high school. It's a wonder how I can think at all. And my lack of education hasn't hurt me enough. I can read the writing on the wall. Hold up,
Bell in the Kingdom of Nye from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
I'm playing this one, Kodachrome, for Dr. Jonathan Reed, because he had film with him. Maybe not Kodachrome, but he certainly had something with him, and that's how we've got the photographs that you can take a look at on my website right now as we talk about them. It's all at www.artbell.com. And we'll get back to Jonathan Reed and Robert Graith and some surprise guests coming up. Stay right where you are.
I'm going to sleep in the car. It's cleaner than this motel.
Not what you need to hear? Then Super 8's where you need to stay, where the rooms are as clean as can be. Because we inspect them to be sure they are more than any other major economy chain.
Boy, do I like the sound of that.
Clean, friendly, Super 8. For reservations, call 1-800-800-8000. Super 8. All the room you want.
Introducing the new Star Super Pack. It's number one in new hit movies with up to 12 different movie channels. Tune in to the Star Super Pack to see new hit movies like Aaron Brockovich, Mission to Mars, The Cider House Rules, and Gone in 60 Seconds. For hits like this, call 800-SUPER-PACK for the pack that's number one in new hit movies. That's 800-SUPER-PACK.
Number one in new hit movies based on year 2000 total number of primetime airings of first-run theatricals with at least $20 million in box office receipts.
Well, you know, with the way the weather's going right now, with the way even CNN is talking now and NOAA about a very, 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 very rough spring. We're going to have violent weather this spring. That's what NOAA says, and I'm sure they're right. And it's going to get increasingly violent. There's going to be power outages. There's going to be all kinds of stuff happening that's not good. You should have a Super Bajan Free Play radio. And we don't have many of them left. We're almost out. It's an AM-FM shortwave radio. That's right. AM-FM and shortwave. Dramatically improved. Very good signal to noise. You'll find it now to be an extremely good radio. Big upgrade. It's got a built-in light that recesses into the radio itself. You pull it out. It comes out on about a 10-foot cord. It's got a magnetic clip. You can put it on a fridge or, you know, where you're working on something, an LED light. Now, check this out. This radio has its own power, folks. And you turn the crank on the side for 1 minute, you get 35 minutes of AM, FM, or shortwave and light. Yeah, you heard me right. Crank for 1 minute, you get 35 minutes of radio and light. It's amazing. It's amazing technology, made in South Africa, incidentally. It's also got a solar panel on top that will work if you just put it under a lamp. It's that good. If you put it outside, it'll have enough excess power to run the radio and the lamp and charge the batteries. So this has power all over the place. If your power goes out, if you're going to get stuck in a blackout in California somewhere else, this is a radio you want to have. We've got them on sale for $99.95. That price will not hold, nor will stock. We're going to be back ordering very soon. If you want one, call the Sea Crane Company Saturday morning. Yes, they're open Saturday, 9 to 5 Pacific time. That means 12 noon on the East Coast. Call 1-800-522-8863. Remember, I told you they're not going to be around very long. We're almost out. 1-800-522-8863, the Bajan radio, the one you want in any emergency. Once again now, back to Dr. Jonathan Reed and Robert Graith. Robert hasn't said much. We're going to get through the story. Dr. Reed, you said somebody returned a call to you finally.
Finally, I got a call back from my friend Gary, who said he would come over and, just come on over. Yeah. So he came on over.
Hey, Gary, I've got this alien. I've got him in a freezer. Come on over.
Right, and I, at first he was more, I think he thought I was, losing my mind, but I didn't really say that. I said, something happened while I was in the woods, and Susie's dead. And he was concerned about my health because obviously I looked terrible and I was still extremely sick. And we went down that path slowly about what had actually happened.
You mean when he got there? You told him about all
right,
this?
Right, right.
Meanwhile, the alien's in the freezer, right?
Right.
Okay.
And finally, I showed him what I had brought home. And I can't tell you on the radio what he said.
I imagine not. What did you do, take it out of the freezer and bring it back into the rec room?
No, I just took him out to the garage.
And opened the freezer?
And opened the freezer
and took it out and
laid it on the table and showed him.
Oh. And so after he exclaimed what I can imagine he exclaimed, what did you do?
Right. Well, what he told me is he immediately started ranting and raving about this. This is an extraterrestrial. This is some kind of gray. This is an alien.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't want to go there. This was not in my world. I didn't think about this. I had no concept of what this was.
Did you tell him you took photographs?
Oh, yeah.
Video, everything?
And I showed him the video.
Okay.
And
so he knows what you've got.
He knows what I've got, and now he thinks we need to get some help about how to deal with this and what to do.
Yeah,
and
good for him.
Because we had no real clue where to go with this, and I basically wanted to get rid of it. And so we talked about what we should do, about maybe is there some type of place that you call to deal with this type of thing.
So sure, an alien hotline.
Right, so he set out to do that. And I was so sick, I really couldn't do anything for about 2 days. And he called around, and he found out some information. He called some MUFON groups and some other...
Oh, yeah, I think he probably called MUFON in San Diego, didn't he?
Actually, no, he called MUFON in Seattle.
Okay, well, MUFON somehow in San Diego, I remember, got involved in this.
Yeah, one of the MUFON members in San Diego eventually did some supportive work for
us. All right, so anyway, he called these...
He called these agencies and said, what if I found something? What would I do about it?
Right.
Where would I go? Who
right.
would I talk to?
Right. What are they?
For the most part, everybody just basically laughed him off and said, don't bother us. You know, and finally, when we had called the MUFON group in Seattle, we got some people, he said, that were extremely supportive, who basically said, well, there are certain things you need to do and certain things you need not to do. One, we'd like to see your evidence, and can we meet with you in a public place?
Right.
And we'd like to store it so that, you know, it's not going to get lost or stolen or whatever, and they made tremendous
yep.
sense.
They were right.
And so, essentially, I thought about, well, I'm not going to take everything I've got. I'm going to take some of what I've got.
Mm-hmm.
And I will take and meet with them, and I did. And they assured me that they would help me in every sense of the way. They were very supportive.
So you took photographs, I'm sure, and showed them those and what else?
I took some of my photographs, and I took some of the videotape, and I basically handed it over to them saying, help me. And they assured me they would.
Meanwhile, the alien's still in the freezer.
Meanwhile, the alien's in the freezer.
All right.
But I think we need to add in here that those people who represented themselves as MUFON members were not MUFON members and never returned to the scene, never returned my evidence, and basically after recalling and talking to MUFON people told me that they had never talked to us.
Well, then who the hell were they?
Your guess is as good as mine.
So your evidence disappeared with them.
So that evidence disappeared.
So fortunately, that was not all the evidence by a long shot.
That's right.
At this point, you've got the alien, you've got the photographs, at least some of them left, and you've got the video.
Right, and I had one more thing that I haven't mentioned. When I went to roll the alien into the thermal blanket in the woods, I saw something under the brush about 3 feet away from where his body lay. And it looked at first like a can of soda pop, like a silvery can through the brush. And as I moved the ferns away, I found out that it was not a can. It was a bent piece, what looked like a bent piece of aluminum or silver-colored metal that had some strange markings on it that was approximately 4 inches long, 3.5 inches wide, and about 3/16 inches in thickness. It looked almost like an ornamental piece of jewelry. So I picked it up and put it in with the body
and it has,
rolled it up and brought it home.
Right, and it has symbols on it, right?
It has some etched or surfaced mounted black symbols which look similar to Korean or Egyptian type hieroglyphs.
Yes, they do.
Yet they have never been recorded anywhere.
We have a photograph for your perusal of what he just described on the website, actually several photographs of it, being held by gloved hands.
And this is what I call the link artifact.
The link artifact. You think it had something to do perhaps with the operation of the obelisk?
I believe that it was worn by Freddy, the alien. I believe it was worn on his wrist. I believe that it was a direct link between him and the obelisk,
gotcha,
or him and a controller.
Gotcha. And it may have flown off when you whacked him.
Either that or when Susie was in combat.
Yeah, one of the two. One of the two, sure. All right. I had another photograph. I don't know whether it's up here or not. I don't. Oh, yes, here it is. When did you take the photograph of the alien with all of the obvious head trauma? I mean, this alien, its skull is cracked open and red stuff is coming out, blood, I guess. And
that was taken at home after I had brought it home.
Okay, one of the ones you took. We didn't cover that photograph. That's up there, so it's pretty graphic, folks. You can see the blood. You can see the cracked skull and. You can see the stuff coming out, brain material, I presume.
Which we did take samples of, and we did basically have analyzed.
All right, we'll get to that. Let's finish up now. At some point, you went back out to the freezer, Doctor. This is a kind of a horrible part of the story, folks, so brace yourself. When did you go back out to the freezer? You'd met with MUFON. They ripped off your stuff.
Well,
they weren't really the MUFON people, I guess. They were men in black or the equivalent thereof.
Many things had happened during the first 3 days. I had talked to people that I worked with. I had talked to friends. My girlfriend had come over. She had seen the body.
Yep. So the word was out.
So people had seen this, close associates and friends. But I still wasn't, you know, publishing this in the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was still sick. I mean, still violently sick. And about the third day of after this had all happened, I had planned a meeting with a professor, somebody I knew personally from the university, to come over and take a close look at what I had told him about. I had set up a table and some lights in my garage so that he could examine the body. That meeting was canceled abruptly, and I was a little put off by that because obviously I was trying to do everything I could do to get this handled.
Right.
And I went back out to the garage to put things away, to put the lights away and the table. And as I was in the garage, I heard a sound that was like coming from underneath or inside the freezer. At first, I thought it was the compressor going out.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, well, if this is going to happen, I'm going to have to find somewhere real quick to put this thing. And but then I thought, well, maybe it's rats. Maybe I've got some rats or mice underneath the freezer.
Mm.
Because it was kind of a scratching sound.
Mm.
And I thought, well, if the compressor's going out, the thermometer inside the freezer will tell me that. Because the temperature would be down, would be actually going up. So I opened the lid, which I had done many times.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, this thing sat up out of the end of the thermal blanket and screamed at me.
Oh,
in
God.
Such a way that it, like, forced my chest back against the wall. like a sound that you could, I could not imagine.
Well, you know, Doctor, one thing you know now is that you've got a good heart. If you were going to ever have a heart attack and die, that would have been your moment.
Yes.
That would have been your moment. So it screamed. You actually, I don't know whether you have it, you played it once before on the program, you had, somehow you had a tape running,
yes,
didn't you?
I do have that right now.
Why did you have a tape running?
Well, first of all, that at that moment, I didn't. This was not the time that I recorded it.
I see.
He proceeded to do this many, many times.
Huh.
And later on, I went back in and actually recorded the sound of him screaming when I opened the freezer.
Oh, God.
And I actually took pictures
all right.
of it,
all
and
right.
I took video of it, and I do have that recording.
You do. All right. If you would, please, be my guest, play the recording. Here's the sound the creature made, folks.
This is opening the freezer, him screaming, and closing the freezer.
Oh, my God. You're going to live to a good old age, Doctor. That would have done me in.
Well, it done me in, too, the first time around. Tell you, I didn't go back out there until for a long time, until Gary came over, and then we didn't know what to do.
So
I wasn't
now
sure.
Now your dead alien isn't dead anymore. Moreover, it's in a freezer where it's been for days probably near zero temperatures.
Right. And I had been taking it out, lifting it in and out, examining it in great detail with a lot of people, photographing it, moving the wound, taking samples of the blood and the tissue, and now it's alive and screaming at me.
And somehow the cold was conducive to the elements of healing. Somehow that freezing temperature was part of why it healed.
Art, later on, I went back out and opened the freezer, and it would stop screaming. It would look at me and watch me, and I would watch it.
Oh.
And eventually, it actually got out of the freezer by itself.
Really?
Sat on the floor.
Yeah.
Looked at me, and then got back in by itself.
What?
It liked the cold.
It knew then that some kind of healing process was underway with the cold?
I can only assume that, but it liked the cold environment.
You know, one time, you know, Jonathan had given the extraterrestrial water, and when the bowl was empty at one point, it picked it up and threw it at Jonathan's head.
I'd never heard this before.
Right, it's all in the book. But, yeah, I tried to give it food. I tried to give it some dog food. I tried to ask, you know, whatever I could do. At this point, I thought it was a maimed animal, and at first I was scared to death to get near it.
Did it make sounds short of the scream?
It made some little squeaky, chirpy sounds occasionally, but basically it did not make any other vocalization. But it did have a great ability to translate information, like a fire hose. I felt like I was being bombarded by information inside my head. I could only spend about 10 or 15 minutes in the presence of this thing without having a massive headache.
And it never objected when you closed the freezer on it?
No, not once.
Did it always appear conscious after that point at any time when you opened the freezer?
It seemed to actually start to regain some of its strength, and it became much more animated. In fact, wasn't afraid of me after a while, and I still was always a little bit afraid of it.
Jonathan had told me too. You know, this information, such as the information in the book, is taken from 1,500 pages of documentation,
right,
and information, okay? And one of the things is the extraterrestrial was extremely strong. If Freddie indeed did not want to be in the freezer, I don't personally believe, when Jonathan has told me,
I'm with you,
that Jonathan would have been able to have stopped him from not being in the freezer.
Art, when I was in the woods and I saw it throwing my dog back and forth, It was throwing a 100-pound golden retriever 6 to 8 feet from each side of its body like it weighed a pound.
So it obviously could have killed you if it had wanted to.
It could have torn me apart. It was strong like an orangutan. And it moved very sleekly in and out of the freezer, almost like...
During those times, did it communicate anything important to you mentally?
I believe that it communicated a lot of information. Discerning that information is the problem. That would be like somebody telling you Chinese, and you have no idea what they're saying.
Sure.
But I feel like I have been downloaded into. And it gave me feelings. It gave me little bits and pieces of what I have tried to understand as imagery. It gave me the feeling like it felt secure with me, I felt terribly guilty. Once it was alive, I felt terribly upset at what I had done.
I can imagine.
But at the same time, I felt angry that my dog was dead.
Sure.
And during the times that I spent with this thing, I almost got the feeling of an understanding that it knew that I was in a dilemma between those two things. And I had the feeling that it somehow could justify what had happened. Because I wasn't killing it now with the shovel that laid, you know, against the garage wall. And I wasn't trying to hurt it any longer. I was actually trying to give it water.
All right. Now, the obvious question is, where is the alien now? The answer to that is, you don't have that alien.
That's right. I don't have that. After the ninth day of this ordeal, my house had been broke into. It had been gone through when I was gone.
All right, I'll tell you what. We're here at the top of the hour. We're almost through the story, folks. So we'll wind it up when we get back, and then we'll begin to give you the new stuff. Stay right there. Dr. Jonathan Reed and Robert Raith are here. Others are coming. I'm Art Bell.
News and information. There's only one station in the High Point area that actually specializes in providing news and information. News and Air Conditioning of High Point and News Talk 1230 WMFR.
No.
I remember to this day the priceless Georgia clay. How it stuck to the sky after the summer rain. Will power may never forego. A woman's mind told me that so. Oh, how I wish we were back on the road again. Me and you and a dog named Blue. Traveling and living on the land.
Wanna take a ride? Call Art Bell from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 775-727-1222 or call the wildcard line at 775-727-1295. To talk with Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Thought I'd play this in memory of Susie. Anyway, we're going to finish up the story with Dr. Reed here shortly. No, they do not have the alien, and you'll find out why in just a moment. Then we have a couple of independent researchers who have some words to say about all of this. My friends, we're well into the new year, and by now I'm sure some of you have given up on that most famous resolution of them all, to lose that unwanted fat. You've heard me offer you the challenge of losing 10 pounds in 1 month. Well, you can with Ultimate Slim, a revolutionary diet formula that's having great success for people like you from as far away as Guam to New York City and beyond. Ultimate Slim is the only diet product I recommend because it not only melts fat into energy, but it also does something most formulas just overlook. It helps relieve bloating. You've heard my pearls of wisdom on this topic before. Regardless of how much you starve yourself, if you're bloated, and I know it's frustrating, you'll not lose those excess pounds. This is why Ultimate Slim is unique. It allows you to release the excess water buildup that causes bloating and simultaneously turns fat into energy, which will trim those inches off your waistline. Ultimate Slim is not a pretender. This is a product that really works. Take it from me. When you order 2 bottles of Ultimate Slim, you'll get 2 more bottles absolutely free, an incredible 50% off, and it's guaranteed to work or your money back. Call now. 1-800-557-4627. That's 1-800-557-4627. Once more, 1-800-557-4627.
At Radio Shack, the savings really add up when you multiply by free. Right now, a basic RCA DirecTV system and standard installation are free after a $200 DirecTV rebate when you subscribe to 1 year of Total Choice Premium programming at $49.99 a month or above. And if you sign up for 2 years of MSN Internet access at $21.95 a month, you also get a free $200 shopping spree. Great for upgrading your home entertainment system. That's 3 times free. Radio Shack, you've got questions, we've got answers.
Mike, can I ask, do you get an EITC?
What's an EITC?
Earned Income Tax Credit. It's for people who work hard but don't earn much.
That's me.
If your income last year ranged from a small amount up to a little over $31,000, and if you qualify for this credit, it can save you hundreds of dollars, even thousands.
Wow. How do I get the EITC?
Get the facts by calling 1-800-TAX-FORM, that's T-A-X-F-O-R-M, and ask for free publication 596.
A public service message from the IRS.
Once again, Dr. Robert, Jonathan Reed, rather, and Robert Wraith. Gentlemen, you're back on the air, and obviously you don't have the alien now. Doctor, tell everybody why.
Well, when the ninth day came along, I finally drove back to my house one evening, and as I was driving up to my house, I witnessed men and vans going in and out of my house with hand trucks, taking everything out of my house there was. A few hours later, I went back, and they had destroyed my house. They had gone through the floors. They had gone through the walls. There were holes in the walls and the ceiling. They had taken everything I had.
Stay good and close to the phone for me. They'd taken everything out of your house, including... apparently, the freezer and the alien.
I walked out to the garage. They had pried the entire door frame, not the door, but the door and the frame right out of the wall of my garage. And the freezer was gone.
So your house was wrecked. When you saw all these vehicles in front of your house, and you saw people carrying stuff out of your house, you just took off.
I kept going.
Where'd you go?
Well, I drove up to another friend of mine named Dolly, who also had known what was going on, and sat there and waited and decided, you know, eventually I didn't know what I was going
to
do.
Sure. All right, so you finally did go back to the house. When you did, you found it torn up. You found the door gone, the freezer gone, the alien gone, and a disaster at your house. You've been on the run ever since, haven't you?
Yes, ever since.
I think it's important to interject here as well, Art, that Dolly is dead, and she was managing some of the evidence for Jonathan. And Gary, whom I've seen personally, has been beaten beyond belief.
And so he won't say a word?
Well, I don't know that he really could say a word, Art. He looked like a survivor of Auschwitz when I saw him.
And Dolly, how did Dolly die?
A couple months after this all happened, I had called Dolly to go up and pick up some evidence that I had stored with her, some
right.
other photographs and other videotape.
Right.
During these 9 days, as I acquired different amounts of film and different amounts of evidence, I would send it to different places, knowing that people were watching us, that they were going through our house, that they were following us in vans, and I was afraid of losing everything. And I had stored some of this with her. So I called her one morning and said, I want to come and pick this up. And she said, fine, no problem. I said, I'll be there in a short time.
And?
When I got to her house, I found her dead on the floor in her kitchen. They said she died of natural causes.
Okay.
The package that she had said was set out was nowhere to be found.
Gone, of course. All right. Is that the point where you took off and you said, obviously my life is also in danger, I'm out of here, or
absolutely.
What?
Absolutely.
Okay. You've been on the run now how long, Doctor?
Well, I've been on the run for a good 4 years. And trying to survive with the help and grace of God and friends.
One, I assume, is Robert Wraith.
Absolutely.
All right. Gentlemen, we have a couple of people we're going to talk to, try to talk to this hour. One of them is named Dan Iria, and he's in Indiana. And I don't know how much we want to say about... Uh-oh. What's going on there? Did we just lose somebody?
I'm here.
Robert?
Yeah.
You're there? How about you, Doctor? Dr. Jonathan Reed is gone. He's gone. Oh, my. Well, we'll get Dr. Reed back on the line here shortly. I have no idea what just happened. But while we can, let's go ahead and get Dan Iria on the line. Let's see if we can do this. We just lost everybody now except Dan Iria. Dan, you're on the air.
I'm still here.
Okay. Dan, since you're the only one I've got right now, things always go this way on this program. Since you're the only one I've got right now, Dan, let me proceed with you. How did you get involved in this, and what do you know?
Well, I became involved in this when I was working out at Microsoft in 1998 in the Redmond area.
Okay.
And, so I was nearby the area where this all happened, and that's kind of what piqued my interest. I heard the initial broadcast and listened to the subsequent broadcasts, and I left Microsoft at the end of 1998, went back to my hometown here in Indiana, and I kind of kept in tune listening to see what would happen, and hadn't heard anything for quite some time. So I emailed Dr. Reed in June or July of 1999, kind of inquiring as to what had happened since his last Art Bell appearance, because there seemed to be quite a lull, and I hadn't heard of anything happening. I wasn't aware at that time that he had presented in San Diego and that he had been shot after returning to Canada shortly after that presentation.
He was shot, that's true.
Right.
Hold on just one second. Let me see if I can get rid of this noise. I'm trying to get things reorganized here. And anyway, proceed. I guess we... Now we've... I'll tell you what we're going to do. I've still got you, Robert Wraith. I've got you back, I think, don't I?
Yes, you do.
All right. I'm going to have to try and set up lines again because getting these set up apparently is not as easy as it looks. And since we lost the doctor, we've got an imbalance in lines here. So, what am I going to do? I'm going to let you tell me for a moment who... this is who Dan Iria is. Tell me what you know about Dan. I'll try and get him back in the line.
Well, Dan was a person that got very interested in the case. He was somebody that really wasn't heavily involved in the concept of ufology. However, he had abiding interest in the subject itself. When he had heard Jonathan talk about this story on your radio show, he became very intrigued by the possibilities. He wasn't sure whether it was real or not at the time. He later found out that we would be presenting at Laughlin in Nevada at the UFO Convention and Congress there. That is where we first met him. And,
okay. I think that I might have him back. Hold on here. Let's see. I'm going to have to try this one more time. I'm trying to get them both on the line and get it to sound right, so let me try this one more time. Let's see if this works. All right. Let's see if we have Robert there.
I'm here.
And we have Dan.
I'm here.
All right, good. All right, so through the conference in Laughlin, you hooked up with him.
Yes, Pam McLeod was kind enough to introduce me to Dr. Reed, kind of discreetly,
right,
the day before the presentation. And I had a short conversation with Jonathan just the day before. And during that conversation, you know, he was very sincere. He showed a lot of emotion. And I felt like he was, you know, very much telling the truth.
So you believe the whole story?
Well, I you know, after he showed me the bullet wounds and told me a lot about what was going on, I felt like, you know what, this, I really didn't have a clue as to what it would be like to have an encounter like this. This sounds like what really would happen, and my kind of idealistic notions of what should happen weren't probably very realistic at all. So...
All right, so where do you add credibility to this story? What research did you do that would tell us that it's a real McCoy?
Okay, well, one of the most critical things that I've been able to do is I did get the negatives authenticated, which, you know, you had looked at them, and I believe Kodak had looked at them as well.
Yes, I had the negatives, and I, of course, sent them back.
Right.
But then you got them, and how did you authenticate them?
Well, I went out and I looked through the industry to try to find somebody who I felt was rather objective and unbiased, and someone who wasn't strictly connected to ufology or this field and making a living off of it, because I felt those people might not be the most unbiased of individuals. So I went to a gentleman named Bob Shell, who's the editor of Shutterbug magazine, and I told him what was going on and what I'd like him to do, and he agreed to do it. And so I met with him in his town there in Virginia, and showed him all that we had, the negatives, the video. And he did produce a document for me, which I have up on my website. And much of this information that I have that I'm sharing tonight...
What is the document? What's the nature of it?
It's just an authentication document. It just basically states that he says that they are authentic by his analysis, and it's signed and dated by him.
All right. And I'm going to give the website out right now, folks. And Keith, I hope you're grabbing this. It's www.aliendestiny.com.
That's correct.
And I've got capitals here. It can all be done in lowercase, I presume.
Doesn't matter.
Okay, www.aliendestiny.com. And you have a document of authentication of the photographs there.
Yes, it's on there.
Talk a little
bit, Dan, about the UFO.
Talk about what, Robert?
About the red eye effect.
Okay. Yeah, one of the other things that we noticed while looking through some of the evidence was that one of the pictures that they have shows Freddy, and it's looking kind of straight on at his face, and it produces a very pronounced red eye effect. And that would be, I would presume, and so did Bob Shell, and I've talked to others, that would be a difficult thing to have... to have produced if it wasn't a real eye. So that was the, you know, kind of critical. Some of the other things that we noticed, Bob Shell mentioned, and I think Whitley Strieber did as well, that when you have a combination of negatives, video, and photographs, that's pretty compelling evidence that what you're looking at is the real thing.
All right, we're just now getting a link up. In the next few minutes, we'll have a link up to aliendestiny.com.
Great.
That's important. So you did quite a bit of research then.
Yes, I did quite a bit more than that. I also, it was brought up, I believe, by Peter Davenport at one time, and he had mentioned that red blood cells are enucleated, which means that they do not have DNA, typically, nucleus.
Right.
And... what I did was I did some research because I remember back on the December 9th broadcast where Harold Chacon was interviewed, that he had mentioned something about that the skin resembled a reptile, and he had also represented that out of the 46 chromosomes, 9 of those were non-human, and they resembled those of sea tortoise and dolphin. And so what I did was I did some research on sea tortoises. And I found that, in fact, sea tortoises and all reptiles have nucleated red blood cells. And, in fact, that's typically what they target when they test the blood of sea tortoises, is they actually go after the red blood cells, and that's what they extract the DNA from.
Wow.
So, and that, again, that's up on my website as well. So you can take a look at the analysis that I did there.
All of that, huh?
Yeah, it's up there. And I also, which I think very important, I had knowledge of Dr. Roger Haggett and Michael Wessels, who are two of the individuals who were on the DNA analysis team prior to their deaths. I knew of these individuals. I knew who the people were on the analysis team. I had not met these individuals, but I knew their names. And so I don't need to say that I was rather disturbed when I learned of their deaths. I know how upset Jonathan was,
yes.
And I was, you know, equally upset.
Well, I don't want to upset either one of you, but you heard the noise when Dr. Reed was knocked off the line by whatever,
yes.
And I cannot reconnect to Dr. Reed. I hope he's all right.
Well, that happened to me about 2 hours ago when I was speaking with him. The same exact thing happened.
All I get is a busy signal now, and I know that if Dr. Reed was able to, he would be hanging up his phone waiting for our call back, so I'm a little concerned.
Well, you know, there's a lot of problems. People asked, Art, you know, how could these people, how could anybody have gotten to Jonathan so quickly after his find of the extraterrestrial? And one of the things we know about is what's going on right now with the NSA involving Echelon and another device called Tempest. You know that Echelon is the ultimate eavesdropping device. Well, Tempest can actually see from miles away, Art, what you're watching on your TV, what you're looking at on your computer.
I can tell you both right now that my phones are tapped. I've known for a long time they're tapped. There's no question about the fact that they're tapped. And if they wanted to locate Dr. Reed, I'm afraid they could. We've been on here now for better than a couple of hours, and I just hope to God he's all right. But his phone is busy, and that was not a usual disconnect sound at all.
Well, it's a considerable risk that this gentleman has come forward with this information. A lot of things have happened. Again, Dan has talked about Wessels and Haggett. These are two very prominent gentlemen in the field of sciences from the university here in Washington. And they both died within about right around the same day, but within 2 months of each other. One was found shot to death in his office. Somebody had entered his office, closed and locked the door, then shot him. And I believe that was Haggett. And the other one was climbing, supposedly, by himself, an area where he had been before and had to be rescued from, but he had always climbed with somebody else for reasons of safety. They found him dead at the foot of the cliff.
Dan, we don't know too much about you. What is your background?
My background is in mechanical engineering. I graduated from Purdue University with my bachelor's degree in 1986. A couple years later, I started my own engineering company. Had that for about 8 years, and then sold that to a publicly held company.
All right. Well, you've been a lot closer to this than any of the rest of us. So you've done a lot more investigation. Obviously, you've got documentation on the website, which
yep.
We're getting a link to right now. It should be up there by now. And I just don't know how to thank you. Is there anything else, Dan, that you'd like to add?
Yes. The information that you were talking about with the email verification earlier in the show that somebody had emailed you with?
Yes.
I have that up on my website as well, so they can step down through that and take a look at how the process behind it.
The process?
Art?
Yes.
Jonathan just called me on my cell phone and said for you to try calling him again.
All right. I'll try that in a few moments. We're coming up to a break. I want to finish with Dan, so we'll
okay.
Pick it all back up and put it back together, I hope, at the bottom of the hour. So, Dan, may I ask you this? Beyond any shadow of a doubt, how convinced are you that all of this is absolutely real, Dan?
I am absolutely 100% convinced that it's real. I have no doubt at all. It's disturbing, and it's hard to wrap your mind around because it doesn't really fit in the life that we've grown up with. But unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you're looking at it, it is 100% true.
Are there any holes in this story? I mean, you must have questioned things yourself. People ask a million questions. I'll never be able to satisfy them all and ask, you know, on our fast blast here or on the phones or whatever. People will ask a million questions. We'll never do them all service. You must have asked a million questions. Did you always get good answers?
Yes, Jonathan was always very forthright with me. He was never aggravated or angry with me for asking the questions. And yes, I did ask a million. And I still do. I want to understand everything that happened. And I want to make sure that, you know, that I do it justice in my retelling of it as well. So,
Anything else you can think of you want to add?
Yes, I also have some other information up on the website regarding Susie's white residue that I was able to grab a couple frame grabs of from the video.
You have frame grabs of what was left of Susie?
Yes.
Oh, that's new.
And the reason I was able to find that was because Jonathan took me up to the encounter site because he thought he could trust me to not disclose the site and he's... You know, that's exactly what I wanted.
Oh, that's also new. So you've been to the site?
Yes. In fact, I'm probably the only other one other than Robert and Gary who have been to the site. And I went there, and I wanted to get a feel for where everything was relative to everything else. And what that allowed me to do is go back to the video and take a look at it and then look for things where now I knew to look for them.
As a detective would do.
Right. And that's how I was able to find the Susie.
Well, you certainly are the first person I've ever talked to who's been to the site. I know there have been people up there looking for the site in the Seattle area and haven't found it. But you verify it's the same site that was in the photographs that are on the website?
Yeah, the marker tree that you see near the obelisk is pretty telling. If you see that, you have absolutely no doubt of what you're looking at. It is the exact same site. I'm certain of that.
Well, Dan, I really want to thank you for coming on the air tonight. I really do, and I'm sure that by now we've got the link up there.
Right.
And so everybody can go take a look. Thank you, Dan.
Can I mention one other thing?
Very quickly.
Real quickly. We're going to be in San Diego on May 6th, and we're going to be in Philadelphia on March 25th presenting, so I wanted to get that information out.
Is that on your website?
It is also on my website.
All right, so people can grab it there. All right, Dan, thank you.
You're welcome.
Good night. That's Dan Iria, Robert Rafe, and Dr. Jonathan Reed back in a moment, if we can get them back. It's a weird night, but then again, this is a program that deals in high weirdness all the time. I think I'm almost getting used to it. It's called Coast to Coast AM.
In today's economy, you need the latest business news, and you need it now. How is the NASDAQ performing? The New York Stock Exchange? With your future retirement depending on how your investments are doing, you need the latest information to make the right decisions. On News Talk 1230 WMFR, you'll get more business news than any other radio station. Each morning between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m., each day during the noon hour, and each afternoon from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., you'll hear two business reports each hour at 24 past the hour. Find out the latest information from ABC's Business Week report. And then at 10 minutes before each hour, you get another update from the CBS MarketWatch.com report. In addition, you can find out the latest business news and track your stocks on our website at WMFR.com. If you need business news, then you'll find it right here on News Talk 1230 WMFR and on WMFR.com. Got something around the house you want to get rid of? Think you're just cluttered with junk? You might find out that your junk is someone else's treasure. You can buy, sell, or trade on the WMFR flea market each Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. Just call us each Saturday morning from 7 to 8 and tell Bill Canada what you want to get rid of or what you want to find. You can also fax us at 885-FAX, 885-FAXX. Clean out that garage and make some money. The flea market Saturday morning from 7 to 8 on News Talk 1230 WMFR.
Hello, I'm certified financial planner Peter LaMoraglia from the Financial Group. Each Tuesday morning from 9 until 10 here on News Talk 1230 WMFR, I host Money Talk. Our show is your opportunity to have your questions answered about strategies to reduce tax liabilities and how to provide a comfortable and secure retirement. Don't deny yourself the information you need to make more out of your money. Money Talk, each Tuesday morning from 9 until 10 on News Talk 1230 WMFR.
News Talk 1230 WMFR is your source for March Madness on the radio. You'll hear a total of 25 games during the NCAA tournament, and you'll hear updates on the other 39 games of the tournament. Plus, WMFR will follow the Duke Blue Devils in their quest for the NCAA championship crown. Duke in the NCAA tournament is brought to you in part by ASB Graphics, Meredith Transport, Triad Collision Center, High Point Chevrolet, and O'Connor Blossom Shop. Check our website at WMFR.com for airtimes and the complete schedule. March Madness on News Talk 1230 WMFR.
Welcome to the age of information. It's an era of unlimited resources, but none so vital as the Wall Street Journal. Make it a part of your business day now for 50% off the regular subscription rate. The Journal delivers what you need most today, from top news and online investing to tips on balancing your work and family life. So for just 37 cents a day, get free delivery for 8 weeks of the Wall Street Journal. This limited time offer is for new subscribers in the continental U.S. Call now, 800-535-7300. That's 800-535-7300.
Commercials are more believable if you get to know real customers. So on the line with me is Michael Weisbrod, a Geico auto insurance customer. Michael, tell us about the real you.
Well, I'm 5'11", 170 pounds. My turn-ons are sunsets, honest people, walks on the beach, puppies, and low-cost car insurance.
It doesn't get any more real than that. To join sensitive people like Michael, call 1-800-947-AUTO. You could save 15% or more. 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico Direct, the sensible alternative.
People don't get it. They don't understand that when they worry, it doesn't stop there. It's only the beginning. When you worry, it turns into tension, and that leads to feelings of irritability, and then anger, and that leads to lots of hurt feelings, and guilt, and overwhelm, and out-of-control emotion. Anxiety and the worry that it creates ruins careers, vacations, it destroys families, and even lives. Worry takes your peace away and robs you of living in the precious present moment. It's no way to live, certainly no way to raise children, and no way to have healthy relationships.
Inside that we need so much. The sight of a touch or the scent of a sound or the strength of an oak roots deep in the ground. The wonder of flowers to be covered and then to burst up through tarmac to the sun again. Or to fly to the sun without burning a wing. To lie in a meadow and hear the grass sing. To have all these things in our memories for. And the youth to help.
Take a ride? Well, call Art Bell from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. The wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. And to reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
It certainly is. Good morning, everybody. We have quite a program going. Dr. Jonathan Reed is back, thank God. Robert Wraith is here. Coming up in a moment, another independent investigator, Daniel McAvoy, is going to be here from the state of Delaware. And again, you'll learn more about what somebody else found out about all of this. I'm Art Bell, and the story continues to unwind on Coast to Coast AM.
With the continued volatility in our stock market, investors continue to lose a lot of money with unstable positions. That said, the people at Lear Financial have just assembled their new Gold Diversification Guide, which outlines why America's top brokerage houses are now buying gold, what the short-term profit potential is, and which coins could double in value in the next 24 months. It's one of the most comprehensive investment guides currently available, and through my special offer, you can receive it absolutely free. Ask for it by name and say you heard it here on my show. They'll also include their new audio seminar, which describes how to safely double your savings and retirement account returns with gold. Normally, Lear charges $19 for the guide, but my special offer is free. Call now and request your copy of the Gold Diversification Guide from Lear Financial. 1-800-474-4259. Tell Mark Bell said there is no charge, no obligation. 1-800-474-4259.
Well, there's little doubt. CNN, it's all over CNN, that the spring is going to be very violent. The thunderstorms, tornadoes have been racing across the South. They're going to move further north. our weather is deteriorating. There's no question about it. Some of the most frightening predictions have been about the impact of global storms, perhaps changing the surface of the earth, directly affecting you and your family. We have got a survival kit that beats them all. I'm telling you, this is absolutely the finest. Get a piece of paper and a pencil so you can write the number down. Everything that you would need for yourself and your family in an emergency. Over 100 delicious meals. Add water, that's it. Really good meals. A complete first aid kit. Sunstars, hand crank solar radio. A water purification system. Emergency blankets. Cook and heat stove. And so many items that I can't even detail them. I have one of these kits, and I'm telling you, it's downtown, folks. It's what you're going to need. If you need it, nothing else will do. How about that? All tightly sealed in a heavy canvas bag. To give you an idea how much is actually in there, there's over 30 pounds of supplies. The price? It's a bargain. $269 plus shipping and handling. Now, that's actually one third of what you'd pay if you bought each of these items separately. One third. Call 1-800-365-8301. That's 1-800-365-8301. I don't advertise things I don't have, and I have a kit myself, and I'm telling you, it's first class. Act now, and KEBCO will give you an additional Sunstar Solar Crank Radio, AM/FM radio, free of charge. So protect yourself. Protect your loved ones. Be ready. This will do it with one easy buy. Call 1-800-365-8301. KEBCO. It might save your life. Back now to my guests, and thank God we have Dr. Reed back. Doctor?
I'm here.
Oh, my goodness. You're on some sort of sat phone now?
Yeah, I'm on a satcom line.
A satcom line. What happened to us there, doctor?
I don't have a clue. All I know is the line went dead. So I decided to pick up and move quickly.
Well, let's. Good for you. So you're actually not at the same location at all.
Well, not quite.
I don't blame you a bit. I just don't blame you. These lines are obviously available to be tapped, and anybody with any common sense would know they are tapped. All right, I'm going to try and bring up now Robert Rafe and a new guest, Daniel McAvoy. Gentlemen, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Okay, good. Robert, I'm glad you're back. I'm glad everybody's safe. The doctor's at a new location on a sat phone, and we'll try and keep him that way. Daniel McAvoy, you're in the state of Delaware. Where are you?
Located in Bear, Delaware, actually.
Okay.
A little bit south of Wilmington, close to the Maryland border.
Daniel, what do you have to do with all this? How did you get involved?
Well, actually, Art, I got involved a year ago at the Laughlin Conference. After hearing the story on your show, I was intrigued. I've had a lifelong interest in the paranormal and have spent many years investigating, reviewing, researching, and writing on cases of ufology. And I found this to be an extraordinary case, one that I really wanted to hear from the participants themselves and to see the evidence for myself.
All right, so you did, and you saw the video at Laughlin, I'm sure.
Yes, indeed I did, with the others at the presentation.
All right, so where'd you go from there?
Then I had met both Robert and Dr. Reed and began to have discussions with them and to begin to get to know them on a friendly basis, hearing the story and trying to get to know them and to judge for myself the character of the evidence. And they were very cordial, very helpful, and I offered my services as an investigator to do a textbook investigation of the case because I felt it warranted that.
And so how did you do it, and what did you find?
Well, what we did was I spent many hours with Dr. Reed interviewing him personally, cross-examining aspects of the story, constantly questioning him in a variety of settings and times, and he's always been consistent and has always answered the questions forthrightly.
I also noticed that. He's always been consistent in the way he's described it on this program. No doubt about that, and we've really pressed him pretty hard.
Yes. The next step was to try and interview people who could substantiate his background. And I was most interested in finding someone who could verify his educational credentials. And after hundreds of hours of getting to know Dr. Reed and Robert, they gave me the name of a professor who had taught Jonathan at UCLA. And in June of this year, I was able to conduct an interview at the professor's home. He, in fact, remembered Dr. Reed. He remembers him in one of his classes. He was able to pull out a grade book that had Jonathan Reed's name in it. The grade he received in the class is a 3.0.
Really?
He remembered him as a student, as an engaging student, one who was really interested in the study of child psychology and development. He also asked me, because he had been approached prior to this with Jonathan and his attorney in 1997, to verify his records. What I ran into in trying to verify his credentials is that all of his written records have been expunged from everywhere. I know that he graduated from San Diego State. I know that he graduated from UCLA through interviews with this particular gentleman and several others.
Are you able to name this person?
Not at this time, Art. He's on in years. His wife has passed away, and at this point, he would prefer that.
He doesn't want to be assaulted by the press.
Absolutely not. And that was one of the rules that we made in beginning the investigation, that I would respect the confidentiality of the people that I spoke to.
All right.
And would get their permission for transcript recordings before I would do anything, and not to reveal, because it's become a very dangerous situation.
Yes, I know. All right. So, But you're independent. You have no connection to Dr. Reed nor Robert Raitt other than the beginning of this investigation?
Absolutely not.
You're not his nephew or relative or anything.
No, sir. I think it would be important for Dan to get his full military background.
Hold on. We got two people trying to talk at once here.
I'm sorry. And only met him at Laughlin was the first time that I had met both of them.
All right. So you have no vested interest in this beyond...
No, absolutely not. Just beyond that, I found it one of the most astounding cases of a close encounter of the third, fourth, and fifth kind that I've seen.
No question about it.
With an extremely large body of evidence.
That's why I've spent so much time on it, too. So you verified his educational background, even though you can't give us the name of the professor, and I kind of don't blame you for that. But you swear to us that you did talk to him and you did verify the doctor's educational background.
Absolutely. And in addition to this particular professor, there were also four other professors, five co-students who went to the same universities, both San Diego State and UCLA, and several employees at the University of Washington Medical Center where he was employed. Now, all of these people were very nervous because there's a disturbing call that exists at that institution regarding this case. As it turned out, he was termed persona non grata and moved out of his office surreptitiously, just like that, and the word was out that he's no longer to be talked about, and that was it. So locating these people became difficult, and then getting them to trust me not to release their information was... You know, and I thank them all for that. You know, it was a great leap of faith that they took, and I'm going to respect that.
Well, I respect it as well. I understand this is dangerous. If what everybody says has happened, it's extremely dangerous in more ways than one.
Yes. In addition, I wanted to talk to a family member. And I felt that would be one way to verify that Jonathan Reed, in fact, did exist.
Sure.
And I learned that both of his parents had passed away and was given access to his closest living relatives, an aunt and uncle, who live in the Seattle area.
Oh.
Very gracious and cordial people, invited me to dinner at their home where there was countless mementos of Jonathan growing up. There were pictures of the dog. There were pictures of his graduation. There were pictures of him, you know, in his life previous to this chance, bizarre encounter that happened.
All right.
I'm sorry.
All right. Well, then, listen, this is all really, really good. I I understand why you can't reveal anything that you've learned and for what reasons other than what you're telling us right now. But what you could do is to sign a statement. You could go and get a notary, you know, actually type up your statement and take it to a notary and get it signed. Are you comfortable enough with what you've learned to do that?
Absolutely. I'd do it tomorrow.
You would?
For today. It's today. Already almost dead.
I think that would be a good idea. I mean, there are, in a case like this where everything is so dangerous and everybody's so on edge, I think a signed, notarized statement from you would help in the whole trail of evidence. Even though you can't name these people, you can tell your story on paper, sign it, notarize it, get it to somebody who'll put it up on a website.
I agree with you. And in addition to that, some of these interviews were tape recorded and transcribed. And I do retain copies of those.
Oh, you have transcriptions of the interviews?
They're in a safe location. I won't say that I have them here, no. They do exist, and they are in a safe location that I do have access to.
Art?
Yes.
Mr. McAvoy had the rare chance to interview the analysis team people in person. He met them. He talked with them. And I'd like him to say something about
that. Okay, these are the people that tested the blood and the tissue and all the rest of it?
Correct.
All right. Dan?
Yes. On about April 10th, during one of the conversations that I've had with Dr. Reed, I was given a list of four people who were directly involved with the ET tissue analysis. One was, of course, Harold Chacon, who had come on your show and did the preliminary work
right. That
Dan Iria had spoken about. The other one was Jonathan, and the other two were a Dr. Wessels and a Dr. Haggett, both renowned pathologists at the University of Washington. In addition to being given these names, I went out there and interviewed both of these folks in April of last year, talked about what they were preparing to do, what we were looking to have them test for, giving some kind of time frame to all this. Then, as it had been previously mentioned, on June 28th, Dr. Roger Haggett was murdered in a murder-suicide in his office on the campus of the University of Washington.
There should be a record of that, of course.
And there is. It's in this. I have many press clippings from the school paper and the local papers on this. It was termed a murder-suicide. A co-worker kind of a dispute that he had with a research assistant. And then the office cleaned out, the computer's gone. The reports that were about to be released in September, which was our time frame, gone as well. Then on August 28th, 2 months to the day, the other professor, Dr. Wessels, was killed in the hiking accident. It reportedly happened in the same mountainous vicinity and area in Washington, D.C., where Dr. Reed's encounter had taken place. The thing that concerned me is a great deal that I had interviewed these people. They were not willing to go on tape, record, and transcript of the interviews. But I can assure you that, and assure everyone else that, they were spoken to, and it was an extremely disquieting feeling to get the word that both of them were now passed away.
I hope people in the audience can begin to understand why everybody's scared to death of this story and scared to death of public exposure, because there have been too many deaths all around it. No question about it.
Yes.
All right.
And that's what's made it extremely difficult to investigate. And I think that's part of the plan, is to cast a pall over people who will potentially report these experiences.
Daniel, what's your background?
I've spent about 15 years in ufology. I'm a member of MUFON. I'm associate with the Center for UFO Studies. I'm a member of Bud Hopkins Intruder Foundation. I've reviewed hundreds of cases in this field. I like cases of high strangeness, so that's where my interest is focused. Prior to that, I spent a number of years in the military as a paratrooper in an airborne reconnaissance unit.
Okay.
I'm qualified in Arctic warfare, jungle warfare, small arms and small unit tactics, participated in both real world and training missions and deployments. And that's basically...
All right. Well, that answers your ufology background, answers why you went to Laughlin and how you got entangled in all this in the first place.
Mm-hmm. He also has witnessed and seen and documented the bullet wound through my shoulder.
Yes. We're not going to have time to tell that story this hour. We'll get it out next hour. Because I really want to, I want to finish up with Daniel. Daniel, you've contributed a lot here. I think you're signing that statement and getting it notarized and getting it up on a website would be a really grand idea. And I hope you do that.
I will do that.
I hope you do it soon. And is there anything else you want to add?
Well, there are some other things that we found out that if we have time to talk about. One was an interesting anomaly about how they tracked Dr. Reed. We found a transponder implant located in one of his front teeth.
In one of his teeth?
In one of his teeth, in the front, during one of his abductions by the dark side.
Where is this now?
We've got it.
We have it.
You've got it?
We
absolutely.
Have the, we have pictures of this device and the... I was able, through retired CIA connections and NSA connections, to find out exactly what the device was and to get a fact sheet on this particular device.
Are we going to get some information on it?
Absolutely.
How?
It will be posted on the website, I'm sure, probably as early as tomorrow.
Which website?
On the alien.destiny.com website.
All right, that's not Dan Iria's?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So you obviously have become friends with Dan Iria.
Yes, we've worked closely because of trying to compile a casebook on this. His responsibility of photographic review of the evidence and some of his expertise as an engineer has come in quite handy in terms of the investigation.
All right, Daniel, woefully short of time. I'm going to thank you for being here.
Thank
and thank you for bringing all of this, and we'll look for the documents.
Absolutely.
All right, take care.
Thanks so much.
All right, hopefully we're doing the right thing here. Hold on, let me, as you can hear, it's beginning to sound a little weird, so let me hit hold and go back, and I think that'll clear it up. All right, Robert, are you there?
I am.
All right, good. And Jonathan, you still there?
Hello.
Dr. Reed?
I got it.
Okay, good. Gentlemen, before this hour is out, I'm saying I want to give you a chance to promo your book. You've got a book. Are you going to get the video out?
Well, the video is being shown all over the world. I have traveled to 14 countries and met privately with many, many groups showing this evidence and gaining some kind of support. It is going to be publicly shown starting in the next few months.
All right. As far as the book is concerned, which is, it's called Link, An Extraterrestrial Odyssey, I'm going to make you guys promo it here. It's $25. How do people get it? If they want to read the whole story with all the details, how do they get the book?
Well, they can order it by phone at 1-800-905-8367.
8367. That's 1-800-905-8367. Is that a 24-hour number or what?
Yes, it is. And there's people there right now.
There's people there now. 1-800-905-8367. Read about it in detail for $25, or I presume probably off the website.
Right.
You can also write to the P.O. Box in care of Link at 1600 Seattle, Washington, 98116.
Give that again, because people are never ready for it.
P.O. Box 16007, Seattle, Washington, 98116.
All right. And one more time around here with the phone number to order the book. It's 1-800-905-8367. Gentlemen, hold on. We'll do one more hour, all right?
Thank you.
Thank you, Art.
Stay right there. This is Coast to Coast AM. And there, I think we've got the majority of the story out. We'll try and allow some of you to ask questions, or we'll take questions by computer, one way or the other. We'll devote the final hour to questions. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
News and information. There's only one station in the High Point area that actually specializes in providing news and information.